Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and the Advise Show.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? It's tonight's Monday night, first day of the work week. I hope everybody had a good day at work today. Ms. Gabriella, you had a good day at school? Now, why you gotta say it like that?
Because I was my first day out of spring break. I pretty much wasted gas because we didn't do anything worth doing, and it was cold. We had ice rain today, so. But that is okay. That means 6 weeks and the semester is over, so I'm good.
See, I don't see how y'all deal with that. You know, like the whole city of Houston shut down and it got 28 degrees with ice. So, you know, I mean, we can't function like that. But anyway, so moving on to tonight's topic, the white perspective on black issues. Now, I posted a promo video today about this particular topic, and they had a lot of black folks that got pretty pissed off with me because of this particular topic. And a lot of them made themselves look real bad in that comment section. Now, before I get into my little speech about that, Ms. Gabriella, you got anything to add before I start that?
And just the only thing I really wanted to add was that racism is racism, whether you're black or you're white. And it's really not cool to sit there and say negative things about white people just because of their skin color.
Okay, now, anything else you want to add before I start my piece?
I want to hear what you have to say, actually.
Okay, so let's talk about how this show came about. Okay, when I do my show, as I stated to everybody, I speak against the wrongdoing, no matter who doing it, and I stated that in that PSA recently, black, white, whoever. I don't care about gender. I don't care about, you know, socioeconomic status. I don't care about class. I don't care about none of that stuff. If you're wrong, I'm going to call you out. So in the spirit of that, I had a subscriber, and my subscribers just don't consist of black people. And a lot of you black people that's on my page need to understand that. I am not the elected spokesman for black people. I'm not. I didn't win that contest. I wasn't voted in at all. I'm just a guy that's part of the black community that have opinions. If some racism going on, oh, yeah, I'm going to call it out for what it is because it is wrong. Not because I am the black leader or I'm trying to lead you to some sort of promised land that you are looking for. As I state, what I do is try to present media with a common sense approach. I want to bring common sense to a lot of this stuff that's just plain that's in our face. But when I start reading the comments in that YouTube promo, it made me like, wow. I mean, some of you that were leaving comments, you sound like some Klansmen saying all the stuff you were saying. How are you better than racist white folks that you're talking about and Bill O'Reilly you was talking about and all these racist other white folks when you sounding just like them in the comment section? One guy had left a comment saying, how are you going to be with the enemy? What enemy? Let me tell you something about enemies. Let's keep it real 100%. Yes, they got racist police. They got racist judges, racist people on the job. But you know who's done the most stuff to me in my lifetime? Black people. Black people messing me online. Black people have done things to me in my personal life. Black people have done so much evil to me that I should be an Uncle Ruckus. But I ain't like that because that's stupid. That's individuals. So if I'm basing it off of who treated me a certain way, then I would have a big chip on my shoulder about black people. But don't come to my channel trying to dictate to me and tell me who I can talk to and what I can talk about. If you want to be the black nationalist, you do that. You got your channel. Nobody's stopping you. Okay? I want to bring dialogue that everybody can discuss because we all got to live together in this world. Okay? Not all white folks are racist. I mean, there was some white folks that actually died in the civil rights movement to help with getting some of our freedom. Because if all white folks are racist, we wouldn't have any type of freedoms that we have today. I mean, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X can do everything by themselves. I mean, you need to understand that. But if you research your history, which a lot of you don't, you would understand that. Now, you have white people who aren't racist, and they're trying to fight, you know, these, you know, evil with you. Why you want to be against them? You got people like Tim Wise. A lot of you may not know about him. He speaks heavily against white privilege and racism. But are you going to reject Tim Wise just because he's white, but yet he's speaking the truth? I mean, some of you are silly. You don't see the bigger picture. If you're against racism, then you're against it all the way around, no matter where it comes from. That's my position on racism. I don't like it. It's ugly, and it comes from hate. And you say you don't like slave master, well, why are you taking on his ideology of hating somebody because of skin? That's my thing. We need to remove all thoughts of slave master from our minds, which a lot of us still have slave master thoughts, and we've never been on the plantation. So y'all need to check yourself with that stuff, because I don't do that over here. So if you're expecting me to just be running around here hating white people, I don't call white people racist slurs or nothing. If they're racist, I can't stand them. I don't want nothing to do with them. But at the same time, I don't like black folks who are very bigoted either. Now, with that said, I'm going to bring my guest into the show. His name is James from California, and he was actually brave enough to step on this platform to speak up, because a lot of white people don't do that. Come to black shows, they actually want to have a dialogue about things they think about. And to the person, the sister said about O'Reilly, I'm not O'Reilly. I can't stand O'Reilly because he got propaganda. So let me bring in James. Let's see. James, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, bro. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for stepping into another show. So, James, you messaged me, and you said you wanted to discuss the white perspective. And like I stated, there was a lot of black people that was upset with me about having you on, because they feel that a lot of white perspective is shown on Fox News Channel 24/7 with Mr. O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, stuff like that. But I know they represent an agenda. You are a regular human being living your life every day, and that's why I want to hear your side of it. So I'm going to let you have the floor, bring your points, and then I'll come in after that.
Okay, thank you. That was well said, man. I really appreciate it. And hopefully any of your subscribers that don't want to hear white people or other people from different cultures will get over it. But basically, you know, you wanted to talk about white perspective versus the black perspective. And the main thing I kind of wanted to focus on, and some of these opinions are that I do share with white people. Some of them are just a general white perspective in and of themselves that I kind of just look back and I observe, but I don't necessarily hold all of them. And I'll try to determine which ones I kind of can see and which are the ones that I agree with and the ones that I kind of just observe from, you know, the bigger majority of white people. And I guess the question one of the topics I would want to discuss is what a lot of white people feel like are double standards for black people. Now, I know that a lot of these issues, probably black people feel the same way about white people, but there's certain specific topics that I wanted to discuss. And I guess if I could just the first question I would want to ask is, I've heard the phrase from a lot of black people that if you're a drop of black, then you're all black. Is that correct? Is that a fair is that something that I've, you know, that's not something I've just dreamed up. And I hear comedians and other black.
Are you talking about the one drop rule?
Yeah, the one drop rule.
Okay, the one drop rule.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what it's called. One drop black blood, you black. That particular rule came from. I'm just gonna use the term because I'm gonna say your ancestors. It may not be your particular ancestors, but because they're white, I'm going to say your ancestors. Like slaves, I'm going to say my ancestors. So I'm just use that terminology. That particular mindset came from your ancestors, because this is what happened. The white slave masters was raping black women, and they was having half babies that was white and black. And these children was not accepted as white because one drop of black blood, they were black, but they was treated a little bit better than the darker-skinned slaves, like, let's say, somebody my color. They'll be allowed to work in master's house. That's what, you know.
Like a house, going, like a house slave versus a slave, right?
Exactly. And that division that's still in our community today was really rooted in slavery, the colorism issue, and that colorism issue is still exploited today in, you know, society, which is mostly controlled by the, you know, white majority. You get what
okay.
I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I guess, like, you know, because whenever say, Obama was elected, I always thought, I was like, well, you know, like, I'm thinking Obama's just as white as he is black, you know? I mean, he is
biologically.
Biologically,
yeah. He is just as much white. He got a white mama. Matter of fact, he is so disconnected from the black community that it's not even funny. He was raised with his white mama and his white grandmother. He was not raised in the hood like me. He don't know about
that's
the welfare food stamps and the police and all this other stuff. Yes, I understand he know about racial profiling. He's talked about it because no matter what, he's black. It don't matter if he's light-skinned. In America, if you have a white man, a white woman, have a baby with a black person, they black, and they're going to be treated
right.
as such.
Right, and that's what I'm saying because I can see that because, I mean, you know, it seems like a lot of black people, they were just, even though he was just as white as he was black, they were up in arms that they were going to get a black president, and I'm thinking, you know, well, I mean, he's just as white as he is black, and he was raised, like you said, by a white family, a white upbringing. I mean, he did marry a black lady and everything, which is all, you know, fine and dandy, but, you know, it kind of just reiterated to me that fact and educated me on how if you're part black, black, then you're pretty much all black, and, you know,
according to white society.
Right, but the black...
Because, like, right? To keep it real with you, like, white people are extremely cutthroat with that. If you're not from two white parents, you're not being called white, unless you're so light
right.
that you confuse them.
Uh-huh. I see. And, but let me ask you this, though. I guess, like, when the George Zimmerman case was going on, I'm not going to sit up here and defend George Zimmerman. That's not what I'm trying to do whenever I talk about him. Because I don't agree. I don't think that he was innocent. I think he should have – I don't know if he should have been convicted of first-degree murder, but I do definitely think he should have been convicted of manslaughter or second-degree murder at the least. But I'm not going to get into that. But what I do find ironic, and a lot of white people do too, is I guess it seems like that one-drop rule doesn't apply to Hispanic people because when I look at George Zimmerman, I see him just from face value, even hearing his name before, as you know, Zimmerman, in my own ignorance, I wouldn't have known that had to necessarily be a white person name. If I just saw him, I wouldn't even think that he is a Hispanic person, you know what I'm saying? But he got turned into where he was this white guy that was, you know, that killed this poor black guy. But I'm just like, well, what about the Latino community? They don't get any flack from it. It's all turned into a white versus black thing. But this
you know
man,
why?
Why?
You know
that?
Why? Well, first of all, when you hear the name Zimmerman, that was a Jewish name, first and foremost. They are, like, as you state, there are some Hispanics that look white. You wouldn't even know that they are even Hispanic. I know what I'm telling you. But the thing is this, what happened, like, he wasn't looked at as Hispanic at all, number one, due to his name. The second thing is all these racist white folks start supporting him. And that's what made it into this racial thing, actually, when the police start covering up for this man. And we know good and well black police didn't cover up for him. That his father has a lot of pull in Florida with judges and everything. That's why he got away with so much stuff he's done, assaulting police, assaulting women. He even molested a family member. I even put up the whole courtroom deposition
on my YouTube
channel.
I'm not defending George Zimmerman as a person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending him.
I'm trying to explain to you why it got so out of hand. And we know that as black people, that it would have been George Johnson would have killed Timmy Martin and did the exact same thing. His behind went to jail immediately. Immediately. That's the thing.
But this is
the thing. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Black people get so sick and tired of seeing the difference, and that's what it was. It was showing a difference. Look how much outrage it took to get this guy arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I guarantee you, if a black man does the exact same thing, so a white kid that didn't do anything wrong to nobody, he was just going to the store, get some candy and some tea, and going back to watch, you know, the game. That's all he was doing. And this black guy stalks, you know, this kid. This kid fights him because, come on, I mean, you seeing somebody stalk you. I mean, wouldn't you defend yourself? So he kills him dead.
let me respond to that real quick. What, okay, so I understand that. So George Zimmerman, he killed Trayvon Martin, and it was because he was white. A lot of black people feel like, oh, he got let off easy or whatever. They try to cover up stuff and this, that, and the other. But I guess what a lot of white people were talking about at this point in time was what they would recall on is the O.J. Simpson trial. And it was almost like a mirror image to what
it was. It was not a mirror image because the O.J. Simpson trial was completely – if O.J. Simpson did that, Mark Furman is the one that ruined that case due to his racism, that he didn't like black people, so he was trying to implicate O.J. Simpson. If he would have left it alone – because I remember the O.J. Simpson case verbatim. If he would have left it alone, maybe he wouldn't have got acquitted if he did that. That's the thing. You can't compare – this case where this guy is stalking an unarmed teenager to that case. It's totally different. But, yeah, a lot of white people say, well, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not. It's a totally different case.
Okay. But, I mean, but here's the other thing. Whenever George Zimmerman got, whenever he got found not guilty, me personally, I didn't see any white people jumping up and down, screaming and excited that he got found not guilty. But whenever the O.J. Simpson, I was pretty young when the O.J. Simpson trial was going on. I mean, I'm 28 now, so you're a little bit older than me. But I remember a lot of black people were up in arms that he was.
Oh yeah,
he got,
when I was in school, when O.J. was found not guilty. Oh yeah, man, everybody was excited. Everybody was like high fiving and excited and everything. O.J. was found not guilty because all the stuff that was going along with it. You know, that we just
thought that. But is that right? Because
with LAPD, you got to understand stuff. LAPD has had a history of framing people, beating people, and, like, a lot of people don't like to talk about Chris Dorner. Well, you know what? Chris Dorner, like, he was the only one that actually stood up to the LAPD because of all their corruption. He did some things he shouldn't have did with that. I wish he would just took it to the cops themselves instead of killing, a few people he shouldn't have. You know, there's a lot of corruption with them. Okay, and that's why
right,
a lot
no,
of people
I understand. Well, with the Dorner
Chris
thing,
Dorner.
I can't sit up there and say he was justified for killing innocent people. I mean, I understand his frustration and all that kind of stuff, and maybe if he had picked out some particular people or whatever that were corrupt, but it seemed like he was going on a rampage looking for just anyone.
Well, the thing is, what people don't understand, if you deal with a lot of racism, a lot of racism, black people have a mental, health issues also, and it's not talked about. And every time we notice that a white person does something, it's an excuse. Oh, he had a horrible childhood. Oh, he feels so bad. He was abused. You know what? There's a lot of black people that have horrible childhoods all the time. A lot of them go to bed hungry. They dodging bullets. Some of them getting beat up by gangs. Some of them being pressured to try to join gangs. And all this other stuff that will have, effect on your psyche, PTSD. Sometimes they can be bipolar and all the same diseases that white people may have. But when a black person does something, we automatically label the devil. We never looked at as, oh, we got a mental disorder also.
Mm.
See, this is the things that I point out. Like, I'm pointing out we are human beings. So let's talk about the human being aspect where the media demonizes black people for doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I understand. I see where you're coming from. I do. I'm trying to see what else I could comment on that. I get your point, dude. Like, the black people, like, sometimes they could be portrayed in the media as, being a thug, and you're saying a white person would be, oh, they have issues or whatever. You know what I mean? I can see how you're saying that, but at the same time,
let me interject what you said about thug. Okay, every
thug
time,
is another word for
yeah, and we already established thug is a code word for the N word. We already established that. I've been knowing that. A lot of black people knew that already. Okay, we know about code wording because there's some racist white people, they use a lot of code words to describe black people. Inner city, urban,
urban thug.
Let me comment on that.
Okay, I've seen that video that you made about the thug is the new N word, right? And I know that you, just like you're saying now, you don't like people using it. You say you think it's the new code word for the N word, and this and that. But I don't necessarily agree with that, because I use the word thug. I've been using the word thug to describe all kinds of people based on character. It could be a white person. It could be a black person, Hispanic. It don't matter. And the thing is like, I've seen a lot of your videos, too, and I'm sure you can't even find one video where you're not using the word thug yourself to describe.
Yeah, I use thug to black folks is not the same meaning as thug to white folks. And think about it. Every time a black male does something, and I'm not saying you don't represent the whole group, but I'm saying a lot of those talking heads in the media, every time a black male does something, he's related to as a thug. When a white male does something, he's never related to as a thug. You have the dude that shot up the Denver
theater. White people are called punks, usually.
They don't even call them that on the media. Like, James, I live in the news. That's what I do on YouTube. And I pay attention.
I understand that. But look, let me tell you this. I just feel like, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I feel like that's a double standard. Like, black people can use the word, but white people can't. Like, with the N-word, for example. I understand the true meaning behind the N-word. I understand the power it has, and it was used to degrade black people specifically. And I understand that. So, but now I feel like, you know, we can't use the T word. Like, I mean, like, we're being, like, there's all these, like, standards, that, double standards that black people are putting on, saying, oh, you can do this or you can't do that to white people. Like, I understand the N word. I mean, it has a strong meaning. But the thing I don't understand about the N word is, like, I turn on the radio and I see all these black rappers and all these, you know, black entertainers. They're always using the N word. A lot of these young, impressionable white kids that are just coming up.
You know
whatever,
what? I'm glad you brought that up.
I want to say something about that because the reason...
Let me finish. Can I
finish real quick? All right.
I'm sorry. I'll let you know. I'm sorry. I just I feel like a lot of these white kids, they just get confused. They hear their favorite rappers or whatnot using the N word, but they're just told that they can't use the N word. And I get uncomfortable personally. I get uncomfortable when I go into a classroom or into a business setting or even just somewhere more casual, there's different groups of people there, and there's these black people that are calling each other the N-word, and I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about that word, but they're sitting up there calling each other that, and it makes me feel uncomfortable, you know. So, and I don't know, you know, what you think about that, but that's just how I feel.
I always, this is an example that I always give whenever someone says that, when the N-word between black people, I'm not going to say it's a term of endearment, but we've taken that hard R off. We've taken the R off of the end of the word and we replaced it with an A, and it has a different meaning when we use it like that, because that could refer to somebody who's stupid. That could refer to somebody who's your friend. It has many different meanings. And we took a word that was negative and we changed it into some, we took the sting out of that word and we use it so it doesn't hurt us. But it's like when when girls sit around and they call each other the B word. They say, oh, that's my B. Oh, all of you are Bs. Like, they'll use the B word all the time. And it's fine between females. But if one guy
says it, really fine?
And
because,
suddenly.
Is it really fine? Is it really fine? If you heard two people saying that, would you say, like, those people sound
kind of... I don't. They sound ignorant. I think that's stupid. I don't like it when I see females say, I don't say that word myself.
But that's just an example.
Hold on, James. One at a time. Is Gabriella finished? And James, you can go behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so I mean, it's okay for women. I'm not saying that this is something you should do. Okay, but when two girls sit around and they call each other the B word, it's fine. But if a man comes in the room and he says the B word, he's labeled as a misogynist. He gets shouted down and yelled at. There's just certain words that you don't need to say, and because it means different things to different people. Do you want to say it? Is that what the issue is? Or
no,
it
but
make
a lot,
you
a lot I do know a lot of white kids that, you know, even why can't they, like, they use the word bro or dude or homie or whatever. But then they hear their favorite black rappers using the N-word, but they're told they can't, even if it's with just the A. I hear some white people amongst themselves call each other the N-word with the A at the end, just as a kind of what you call a form of endearment. But they can't say it around black people. But sometimes I'll hear them say it. I don't use the word, but sometimes, you know, the younger kids, they'll use the word to each other or whatnot. But it just seems like, you know, like they can't, you know, the blacks can use it, the whites can't. Now, and now it's the thug word. The blacks can use it to describe each other, but the whites can't use it to describe anyone. I mean, I just
that's just the way the things are. Unfortunately, I know that there's a standard, but
can I talk about the music because he really brought that point up and I wanted to talk about that. The music, you know, back when rap actually started, it was just, rhyming music. It was fun. You know, I've seen the evolution of rap music. I've seen it start from, you know, the time of, you know, Curtis Blow, Run DMC. I've seen it change into gangster rap, which you had NWA and all them. And I've seen it change to that, you know, southern type of rap. I've seen it change into this stuff we have now, which I hate the most. The best rap was in the 80s and 90s. Anyway, these record labels, and a lot of these rappers talk about that. They want them to push that negative stereotype and use that word. Understand, the people who own the record labels are white. They're mostly Jewish, but they're white. They're not black folks that own these labels. Let me tell you
something.
How do you
know that they're doing that, though?
Let me tell you something. I guarantee you, if those rappers get up there and start going crazy on gays, start talking all kind of nasty stuff about whites or Hispanics or somebody else, I guarantee you that rapper's song will be shut down immediately. Now, this is the thing. Ask yourself this question. Why is it that they are allowed to say that word when that word is very bad and it is considered a racial slur, but they can't talk about nothing else or other group of people? You know, remember Rick Ross? Well, you probably don't remember, but this artist named Rick Ross made a line in a song that stated, you know, about like insinuating date rape, saying, you know, basically put some Molly in her drink and she didn't know it, and he said he hit that and she didn't know it. Well, a feminist came out with an uproar, okay, complaining about it and everything. Rick Ross lost his Reebok contract at the time period. He had to apologize, and that song got scrapped immediately for one little short line that he stated. Now, they talk about all kind of stuff in these rap music, but if you talk about certain individuals, something's going to happen to you. But it's okay to talk nasty and negative about black people. And we got to understand something. These rappers are employees of the record labels. And these record labels can shut them songs down at any given moment. But they don't want the rappers to talk positive.
Is this just a theory that you have? Or
it's
is
not
this something
theory. No. Everything that I say, I research my stuff. I don't make stuff up. I sat there and looked at all the CEOs of the record labels. I've heard people like Professor Griff and all the other ones who are, you know, elders in the hip-hop game and talk about the things that these record labels do behind the scenes and what they want to promote. They don't want black males to promote something positive in the community. They don't. The most degrading, the most nasty, filthy music that they can put out, that's what they want. And they know that's going to influence. Excuse me?
Well, I'm sorry, but at the same time, so let me ask you this. So if it wasn't for the white record CEOs, the white record label owners or whatever, if it wasn't for them, are you saying that the black people, that they wouldn't be using the N-word in their rap songs, or that they would be talking about?
I didn't say they wouldn't be using it. I didn't say they wouldn't be using it. I said that the record labels promoted, like, for instance, rap used to be a black community thing, period. And maybe Latinos will listen to it because, you know, they're more closer to us in the hood. When rap went mainstream, and you know it went mainstream around, I'm going to say, the more so mid to late 2000s, it really went mainstream. And they could shut these things down. That's what I'm trying to make you understand. Yes, they've been saying the N-word all day long. You know, even way back when, especially when gangster rap came out, which I enjoy gangster rap better because it told the stories of the hood. But this stuff we have today don't. But it was okay back then because the majority of America was not listening to it. It was most of black people listening to that. But now it's everybody listening to it now, so some things should change with it, in my opinion. Like I stated in another video, if black people are using the N-word to each other, I really don't have an issue with it too much. But if black people are using the N-word in a public forum where everybody's at, well, I don't want them to feel so comfortable that they can say it, so we shouldn't say it. That's how I feel about the situation. So I don't believe the rappers should be using it in these public songs since it's so mainstream.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I mean, honestly, I would. But I mean, obviously, I'm just curious why these new age rappers that are seem so foul, that are, you know, just talking about. It seems like every other rap song you hear, they're talking about, you know, selling drugs or hooking up with different women, or, you know, flaunting their jewelry or their chains or whatever. You know, I'm wondering, why is this stuff, you know, why is this so appealing to people? Because at the same time, a lot of times, you know, in economics, you learn that people sell what people want to buy. You know what I'm saying? And if this stuff sells, they're gonna keep making it.
You basically just explained you basically just said the answer to your question. The reason why they make music like that is because it's going to sell. If you make music that has a positive message, that's not really the stuff that people want to listen to. So marketing executives sit down together and they say, okay, what are people talking about? What's going to get people going? How are we going to make money? And they say, okay, well, people, they like to see the half-naked women in the videos. They like the gold chains. They like to hear about gangs and shooting and killing and using all kinds of foul language. That's what people want. And the main purchasers of rap music are white people, aren't they?
No, so, absolutely. But let me ask you, this is what I'm
saying. There's a lot of white girls want to be like Nicki Minaj. There's a lot of them.
So absolutely. But let me ask you this. So is it a problem with the CEOs of these corporate record labels, or is it a problem with us, the people, for all this negative music being out there? I would say the responsibility, if we stop buying it, then they would start making something else, you know, and hopefully something that was positive.
I'll be honest with you. Black people haven't really been that great at buying albums. Ever since You Could Dub Tapes, black people been buying stuff bootleg for $5. I'll be honest with you. Rappers make more money when they go mainstream because white people will buy stuff. Black folks be trying to download everything. They be, you know, they be trying to get a hookup or whatever. Man, you got that new 2 Chainz? Man, I ain't trying to buy that junk. I mean, it just always been like that. I'm just keeping it real. I mean, when people say,
right.
Man, I got that Michael Jackson tape dub, that Thriller. Oh, you sending $5? Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that's just how it used to be back in the day. You know, so nothing has changed. So the thing is, if you look at the album sales, I'm going to say, yeah, some black folks buy it, but the majority, like most of these rappers that go what they call crossover mainstream success is because, like, when white America start liking them, that's when their money go up because they start buying these stuff.
Right. No, I mean, I hear where you're coming from. I mean, I understand. I just, I don't know. It just seems like it's more of a problem with us as the people, and maybe we should maybe there's something we should be doing within our community to kind of say, hey, look, you know, there's a better way to you should respect females. You should, there's a better way. You don't have to sell drugs. Like, but it's sad that you couldn't have a song that talks about, you know, being there for your family or investing your money instead of flaunting your money and have it sell. It just wouldn't
happen
that
way. They have rappers like that, but
they don't get any time. They don't get the
airtime or nothing like that. They don't.
Right.
You will never see another Public Enemy in this day and time. I remember how Queen Latifah started out, all this African stuff and, you know, talking about UNITY and African pride, and now look at it. I mean, they all just move away from it when they get that mainstream success. We know that. But I need to ask you a question because I got these calls holding on here. Guys, I'll get to you, but I want to ask James a question. You brought up a point in your Facebook post about black people and the race card. Explain to me about that. You say that black people pull a race card a whole lot. Explain to me what you meant by that.
Wait, what did I put? I don't remember saying they pull.
I'm gonna pull up exactly what you said on Facebook because I'm looking. You know, hold on, I'm pulling data, which is the original thing you said about the race card with black people, and
okay.
That's something I wanted to ask you. And you said a lot of white people feel that black folks make everything about race, no matter what it is. That was you stated in the post. What do you mean by that?
Okay, yeah, I mean. Well, I do feel that a lot of times. I feel like they think that white people hold them back. I mean, I've heard that saying a lot among black people that white people hold them down or keep
them.
Can you
give me an example?
Discriminating against them from getting good jobs, or I mean, black people hold have looked down on you for becoming a successful white or successful business person.
Some of them do. Yeah, that's true. But what does it have to do with the question I just asked?
Well, you know, I do feel that black people do use the race card a lot. And
well, can you give me an example of when black people do that, like a clear-cut example?
Okay, yeah. All right. Say, like, police brutality. Like, I understand there's racist cops, all right? What they got to understand is, you know, it's not necessarily always about when a cop is trained to profile an individual, right? I mean, that's just part of their job. I mean, that's what they're trained to do. And I would say personally that, you know, blacks would say it's because they profile them because they're black. But I would say that a lot of times cops profile people because of the way that they're dressed. And I've even heard you condemn people or black people or whomever for the way that they dress, whether it be baggy pants or sideways caps or whatever. So
I never said a word about sideways caps. I said them sagging pants because it looks homosexual and that's not what men should do. That's what I said. I didn't say nothing about sideways caps. There was a video that I put up. I even put up the full video on my website and did a commentary to it. And a white guy put this video up. And he was going to a car and he was acting like he was trying to break in it. Nobody bothered him at all for 30 minutes. Nobody said a word to him. The police passed right by him and everything. The moment he said, okay, now he's going to let the black guy go do the exact same thing. Everybody looking at him funny, talking about the white people, looking at him funny, rolling the eyes. The police run up on him with guns drawn and handcuff him and everything. And they had to tell him, no, it's a skit. But the white guy was there for 30 minutes, doing the exact same thing as the black guy.
Right. I saw that video. But I also saw the video, a couple other videos you put up. I saw one where there was this black girl that she was being pulled over for a traffic violation, and the cop was asking her to roll her window down, and she wouldn't comply.
If it's one of those videos that I feel that, okay, you just kind of just getting out of hand, then yeah, I'm going to say something about it. But not every incident that I talk about, don't say, oh, it's the more racist police. If it's something along those lines, I would say it. If the person is wrong, say, no, that person is wrong. I told you, I'll go along with what's right and what's wrong. But what are we saying about racial profiling do exist when it comes to black people, and white people don't understand it because they never dealt with it. I mean, the moment you're born, it's like this is the walk of the black man, especially the black man in America. The moment you're born with a strike on you already. People look at you funny. They think you're going to steal. They think they're going to follow you. All this other stuff. But you can go in the store with one of your white friends, and they won't follow him. He can be dressed just like you, and white guys dress exactly like black guys. They'll sag their pants. They wear big shirts. They wear New Era hats and everything else, just like a black guy. They wear Jordans and everything. But they will not be followed. They wear hoodies, all that. They won't be followed. They won't be harassed by the police. But a black guy wear the exact same clothing, he will be harassed. They've shown that so many times on television shows, just proving it.
Right. I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, I know there's racist cops. I know that racism exists. I'm not even denying that. You were asking about the race card. Another thing I would point out, even with the George Zimmerman, I mean, would that not be because it became such a big deal because he was a part white guy. But the thing is I see Hispanics, or Latinos and black people killing each other all the time out here in L.A. in the news. But you never hear anything about that, or even with other black people, you know. But once you hear a white person do something to a black person, then it hits the news.
Well, you know, the news, I'm going to say, what people don't understand, the news keeps up a lot of division, too. The news always, like, for instance, they won't show, like, a white police officer saving the life of a black man. They won't do that. But they'll show a white police officer beating the hell out of a black man just to incite division, incite anger. It gets views, it gets ratings. I mean, the media does promote a lot of propaganda. They do. You know, people don't understand that the media is an arm of the government. The FCC controls them. It's getting so bad with them that the FCC talking about that they're going to start going in and making sure they're reporting fair news. Now, why is the Federal Communications Commission talking about doing that? It's all propaganda, and most people don't understand that. A lot of propaganda has been spewed to white people to hate black people. Think about it. every time you see something on the news about black people, it's something violent, it's something outlandish, it's something slutty or whatever. You never see the black kid that graduates college at 12 years old. You never see, you know, the black kid.
You see a lot of negativity about white people too. White people blowing up buildings, white people shooting up schools.
Yeah, they do. You're right about that. I agree with you 100%. But it isn't taught to hate white people in America.
I don't think it's taught to hate black people. I mean, like, my favorite comedians are black. Like, the sports, white people dominate the sports world, the entertainment world. I mean, there's my doctor's black. I mean, there's so many.
That's all they do is chase the ball, but black people don't have no power in America at all.
But whose fault is that?
It doesn't impress me, James, that black people are chasing a ball. What would impress me is black people are controlling part of Wall Street.
Is that a white inflicted problem, or is that a black community problem from within? I think it's.
I'll tell you the truth. It's a lot of both. It's a lot of both, because in the black community we feel that entertainment is just the way to go, because you know it's instant gratification. It's what's celebrated. And, you know, all the other careers a lot of times aren't promoted, like doctors, lawyers, you know, what, you know, Dr. King and all the other people fought for us to have is an education opportunity. They didn't fight for us to have welfare and food stamps. They fought for us to have education and opportunity. That's it. Because
right.
with education, you can go far, and opportunity you can do for self.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, that's why I guess it goes back to my point that a lot of white people feel like black people – say that white people cause a lot of their problems, but I would sit up here and say that, you know, hold on. I mean, first of all, at the end of the day, I'm an individual. You know, I've never owned a slave. I've never met a slave or, you know, I don't even know if I have ancestors. I mean, I'm sure I have ancestors that own slaves, but I don't even know those people. I have nothing to do with them. You know what I mean? I think it's...
Well, has any black person walked up to you and say, James, I hate you because... you enslave, you know, my grandmother. Has any black person tell you that?
No, but they've insinuated it. Not that they hate
How do they insinuate it?
We're never going to forget about what you did.
Of course, James. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Black people are never going to forget slavery. I will never forget slavery, and I'm going to tell you why. Because that was horrible that happened to my ancestors. Just like the Jews are never told to forget the Holocaust. They remember it every year. They got their museums and everything. So they're not going to forget it. And I tell people this. When you start telling the Jews to start forgetting the Holocaust and stop talking about the Holocaust, then we'll stop talking about slavery.
People are talking about December 11th because people are talking about that too. So
Pearl Harbor.
I'm not saying that you should forget about it at all. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. But I do. Some white people feel like we are to be held responsible for it. But the other point I wanted to make was, you know, yes, there were white slave owners, but what about all the black slave owners? I mean, a lot of people it seems like no one ever talks about, the black people never talk about how the black slaves were actually slave, before they were owned by white slave owners, they were owned by African slave owners, or they were prisoners or whatever, and they were sold to Europeans, and then they came over here on ships. So, I mean, you know, I understand that
Slavery is old as the Bible times. Okay, I mean we could, the first recorded type of slavery that we can remember, you know, at least in the Bible, would be, you know, in the time of Egypt. Okay, that's the first one I can think of off the top of my head. Slavery is an old institution, but the thing is, I hear that argument. Well, you know, they sold them to the white people, so you know, I mean, get mad at them. Well, you know what, James, if I sold you my dog right now, and you start abusing my dog, you kick my dog, I mean, you have killed my dog, and the police arrest you for it. Are you going to go to court and say, well, you know, Philip sold me the dog, so, I mean, you know, blame him.
So you're saying that they were good slave owners over in Africa? Are you saying that
referring to the argument that you said that the Africans sold slaves to the Europeans. Yes, they did. Usually were conquered foes. They did that with. Yes, they did do that. That's widely noted and documented. What we talk about is what happened when the African slaves entered the shores of America. Matter of fact, the transatlantic slave trade, just to even the voyage to over here, I mean, was even bad. I mean, being in feces, being thrown out to the sharks. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, and the thing is,
I understand they had it bad. I mean, I watched the movie 12 Years a Slave. That was a great movie. I've seen a bunch of slave movies. Django Unchained was a great movie, and there's a lot of truth to all of those movies that I've seen and that I really enjoyed watching. And it was horrible the way that they were treated, and it was wrong. And I understand that. Like, I mean, white people, they want to support black people. Like, maybe because I live out in California and you live in Texas, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe just racism is a little bit more prevalent down there. But I feel like, you know, white people, you know, they understand it, and they want to support black people. But I mean, what can I do as a person when I hear about it or people saying this? I mean, there's some white people I don't agree with this at all.
Okay, you say what could you do about it? You want a solution to what you do to help racism? Call out white people who's doing it yourself. See, this is what we still don't see as black people. We see white people saying, I'm not racist. I don't say racial slurs. I don't say nothing, but you don't call out white people who's doing it, though. You don't be vocal about it. And
I know why, in
my opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion why white people don't do it, because they're afraid of the backlash that it's going to come.
I do it. If I hear a white person say the N-word, I always say, "What if you wouldn't say that in front of a black person? Yeah, why don't you say that in front, if the black person was around?" It's like, or even if they said, you know, fag or something like that. I'm like, you sit up here. Like, I've got some friends that sit up here and talk about how they're, you know, liberals, or they have you know, all these talk about all these equal rights, but they're the ones when they, you know, start drinking or whatever, they're the ones throwing out all kinds of derogatory slurs, and I don't think it's right. I mean, I'm not saying I've never said any of these words.
That's the only thing I say. Call out the racism that's going on. When you go to jobs and there are no black people on these jobs, you don't question, like, why is no black people on these jobs at all? Because I've seen this. You'd be like, the only black person, maybe one or two black people on the job, all of the people are white, and you know, like, oh, okay, I know why we got this job, so they wouldn't get in trouble with the federal government. Because in certain levels of income, they don't want black people making a certain amount of money, and they try to keep black people out. I've seen it. The things we're saying is, I've seen, James, I'm not making it up. I wish I was making it up. But we do not live in an America that's equal. And a lot of people thought, and even white people thought, okay, well, America has changed when they elected Barack Obama. Actually, it's gotten worse being in office. I'll be honest with you. Racism has gotten worse since he's been in office. I've never seen N-words thrown out so much in my life.
It's
just 8 years that man been in office.
It seems that a lot of white people think that black people just voted for Obama because of the color of his skin and not because of his policies. Is that a fair assumption to make?
I mean,
some black people, you know why black people, a lot of black people did it? I'm going to tell you exactly what they were saying. Man, finally, we're going to have somebody to understand how we feel. Finally, somebody's going to go in there. Huh?
Like you just said, he didn't come from you guys' culture.
Those black people didn't do the research on this particular man. Even Morgan Freeman said we haven't had a black president yet. Morgan Freeman said we had the first biracial president. He said we haven't had a black president yet. But that's Morgan Freeman.
Right.
But anyway, what I'm gonna do, James, I'm gonna start letting these calls in because they got people holding on. Maybe they want to ask you a question or chime in. So we're gonna go ahead and take the first call coming from the 412. Let's see if they come on in. 412, you're on the show.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. What's your name?
Jaquel.
Okay. Ooh, I can't pronounce that one. Okay. So you got any questions for James or want to chime in on anything that was said?
As far as the black, the white perspective, how do you feel about a lot of younger black people being like lazy and not wanting to do the work it takes to be successful, because as a race of people we've become very lazy and don't want to do anything as far as getting an education or working, don't have any work ethic, and it's very disgraceful, but at the same time, there are people that are trying. So what is your perspective on that?
My perspective with young black kids, I think a lot of them have a lot of potential, and I think that a lot of them work really hard. I don't think that that they're all lazy by any means. I don't know if this is some type of trick question. I think in some of the broken communities, black communities, I feel like a lot of times they get, maybe like you said, I've heard on the advice show, a lot of black kids grow up without a father. They grow up in a bad neighborhood.
Black single parent home.
Right. I think that has more of an influence than their work ethic. I think that, when you have kids that maybe they aren't really taught, how to build towards a future. Maybe they think, oh, I want to become an athlete or I want to become a rapper, but they don't understand how those aren't factory jobs. They don't understand how difficult those jobs are to get and compared to, going to school to become an accountant or an electrician or a plumber or whatever. And I think a lot of black kids, and I was watching a video on the Advice Show just recently where there was this black kid that he played football and he got a full scholarship to go play football at some college, and he gave it up to try to become a rapper. And to me, I mean, yes, white kids do listen to rap, but I hardly ever see white kids, aspire to be rappers. A lot of times they're made fun of. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tom Hanks' son, but I mean, there's YouTube videos of him, and he tries to be a white rapper, and he's just, the laughing stock of the white community. But I don't think black kids are lazy. I think that they come from broken homes, and that has an influence on them. And that's really why I want to kind of step up. I want to learn more about the culture, and I think people need to come together, not just whites or blacks, but all the community as a whole, Asians, Mexicans, whoever it is, and say, okay, there's a problem in the black community. A lot of these kids are coming from, bad neighborhoods or places without a father, or then maybe they have bad role models such as, these 50 Cents or these Lil Wayne's that are talking about nothing good, and just kind of get together and let them know that, it seems like in the black community, there's the conformity level is a lot higher. It seems like in the white community, individuality is praised more. But in the black community, it seems like they have to have this hard image. They're taught to have this hard image. Like they have to be, if they're selling drugs or if they're from the streets or if they speak uneducated, then that equals respect. But if you see a brother out there, staying loyal, raising his family, staying loyal to one female or starting his own business, then like they're looked down upon, and I mean that just doesn't seem right to me. So I think it's just more of a culture thing than an actual what's the ability within the person, if that makes
right.
any sense.
I have another question. What do you think of the low amount of black male teachers that we have in this country, and what do you think of the lack of black role models that we have for a lot of young black people, especially young black males?
I think it's sad. I mean, the thing is like it just seems like there was segregation's over, but it also seems like there's still separation because I mean,
right.
And it's not just white people or black people because I mean, look, there's black groups that kind of click together and there's white groups that kind of click together and there's black schools and obviously there's I don't know much about the teacher situation. I mean, I've had a lot of black female teachers. I don't know about black males. That might just be something within the black community. Maybe it's not. Maybe in that community, they don't aspire to be black teachers. That could be the problem. And plus, if there's a lot of white people, a lot more white people that are living in the country, I think America is 65% white and about 14% black. That was the statistics that I found. Obviously,
is
there's going to be
with
more.
Excuse me?
Is that true that there's only 14% black people in this country, 65%? Because I know you're good with statistics, but...
Well, I know. Well, we've been kind of holding on paper, I'm going to say, and I told James this other day. Everybody's not counted. Trust me, they're not.
I
think, like, man, forget the census. Them people ain't counting me. I mean, so they keep saying 13% to 14%, but with the last projection I saw, it's around 2050. They're supposed to have 77 million black people in this country. So, I mean, how where do they get that number from? But we still stuck at 13%, 14%. I mean, you know, in the black community, we're doing a lot of screwing and making babies now. You know, so I mean, well, you know, it's the truth. I mean, we gotta.
Yes.
You know, yeah,
mom,
like my wife
course.
Said. Like my wife said, Mexicans too. You know, they having kids too. You know, so you know. And actually,
well,
you know, you talk about this majority thing.
I have big families down there too, so big white families.
So, okay, well, I'm gonna have to go ahead and go to the next caller, sister. Thank
sure.
you for calling. I got other people in line.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Oh, anybody on the line that want to talk, just make sure to press the 1 button. That way I can see that you want to talk. You'll be in the queue. The call-in number is 347-996-3350. To anybody on Ustream that possibly want to call in is watching right now. So we go ahead and go to the next call here that's been waiting the longest. Area code 307, you on the show.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. God bless. I just wanted to start by talking about my background a little bit, because I'm not white, but my grandfather was a black man from France. My grandmother was from Cuba, and from my other side, they were from Dominican Republic. And I grew up in New Jersey, right across the river from New York City. And when it comes to a lot of social issues that blacks are having, even Hispanics in the community, it's not really fair to compare. If you compare whites and blacks, because they're growing up in two different neighborhoods, two different types of communities. The big problem is not having a father. I didn't have a father. My father wasn't there. And it kind of changes your view growing up of how, you know, the world really works and how things are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up on welfare, you don't really think you need a job. You think, you know, I can just get, you know, Section 8, I can get government housing, I can get this and that. But there's a lot of things that are hurting black and Hispanic communities. I mean, if you just think about abortion in the black community, I just pulled up a number here from a recent article in New York City. 31,000 black babies were aborted compared to 24,000 that were born. And you can't, you know, with those kind of numbers, you can't have a community grow and better themselves. And the black community does have great role models out there. If you look at Dr. Benjamin Carson, I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he was the head pediatrician of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University. Grew up in Detroit. He didn't know how to read. His mother had a third grade education, and he became a great doctor. You look at someone like Herman Cain, who I don't like politically, but he runs Godfather's Pizza. You know, there's people
yeah.
that aren't rappers, that aren't basketball players, that aren't football players, that young black men can aspire to. Even if you look at for black women, look at Oprah. Look what Oprah's done. Oprah grew up in the ghetto, and now she's, you know, one of the richest women in the world.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that I promote, like, you know, on my channel. I want black people to be more business owners and be doctors. We, like I said, we definitely need civil rights lawyers. You know, we need chemists. We need all kind of people, because everybody can't be LeBron James, okay? It's just not going to happen. Everybody not going to be these little skirt-wearing rappers that's going on today. Everybody's not going to be them. So you got to figure out what you're good at and promote that. But, you know, the thing that the other lady was talking about within, you know, the community about looking down on the men who are getting their education, who are getting things, you know, taken care of, getting their degrees, opening up their businesses. I tell those men, because I even did a video about that I'm going to post after the show, you know, you need to stop focusing your attention on the regressive black folks in our community and focus on the progressive black folks.
Exactly, because what's happening is that I keep seeing people making these videos talking about hood rats, and they keep talking about thugs, but you're giving them too much shine. I rarely see, like, I've seen that you've posted videos talking about positive things that black people have done, but there's not enough, and I feel like there needs to be more positive images out there, because if you start exalting people that are doing positive things, more people will aspire to it. But if people keep saying, okay, well, if I do something positive, I won't get any attention, they're not going to do it. That's
and,
just how
it is. I agree with that.
I'm sorry. I wanted to mention something that you guys were talking about before. I've been listening since the beginning of the broadcast, but about the N-word in the black community. And being where I'm from, you know, like I said, I'm Hispanic. My grandfather was black. But, you know, I was raised by Hispanics. I never knew my grandfather. And when it comes to the N-word, they, you know, it's said all the time by Hispanics, by whites that hang out with Hispanics and blacks, you know, who grew up in the hood. And if you look at some of the Hispanic rappers, look at Fat Joe, look at Big Pun, even Arab, like look at DJ Khaled, they all say the word and nothing gets said when they say it. But if Eminem would come out and say it, you know, he would be, you know, crucified, so to speak. And I don't, you know, I don't think anyone.
But you know what? Let me add to that. That depends. See, in the New York area, Hispanics get away with that. If they came down here to the South and pulled that, they'll start getting looks and somebody will say something. Hispanics don't be calling black folks that word over here. In Texas.
Well, you know, I guess it could be, especially because, you know, we were, you know, from the North and it was more abolitionist originally from the get-go. Wasn't as racist as the South, you know, when it came to, you know, slavery and things like that. So I could see that, but I mean, I don't think they should get away with it in general. It doesn't matter if you're from New York, you're from Chicago, you're from Los Angeles, Houston, Miami. You shouldn't be able to say those kind of things. And if you look at, you know, the big problem with the community, and it's not blacks, it's not whites, it's the community as a whole, is when people start doing what they're hearing in the music, listening to people like Nicki Minaj, whose name means three-way, you know, menage a trois. And you wonder why girls 14, 13 years old getting pregnant, having kids, the dad's not around because the dad's the kid himself. It's more than just that. You know, it's a big issue, not just racism that's affecting the community. And if you want to really think about it, if you look at the Democratic Party, they were the party that started the KKK. They were the party that was for slavery. And now who all the blacks and Hispanic people vote for is for the Democrats. And I don't know if you've ever done research on
I know.
I know that.
I mean, one of the first the Republican Party gave black people the first chances to get in government. I mean, but the current Republican Party, you know, they harbor a lot of, you know, racist rhetoric, and that's why black folks think about it. They don't want to cater to black people. They don't want to come talk to black people. They don't go talk to Hispanics. They only want to talk to the Bill O'Reilly types, you know, in the world. That, you know, that good old boy, old school America stuff. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. But when it comes to, like, if you look at what the Democratic Party did in the 60s, they rebranded themselves when they had the Jim Crow laws. They had to get away from that because they were losing, you know, races to Republicans, and black people were voting for Republicans. So they started what's called the Cloward and Piven strategy. I don't know if you've ever read up on that, but basically what it is to make people on welfare so they become dependent on the government. So, you know, they get the poor blacks and the minorities dependent on government, so then they have to vote Democrat because you wouldn't want to vote for another party because they'll cut them off. And, you know, when it comes to racism in the Republican Party, I'm not going to deny it's out there, but there's a counter kind of racism from the Democrats where we're going to keep giving you funds for, you know, we're going to give you food stamp money. You're going to be able to, you know, buy food and the lingerie. I think you had a story about that recently.
Yeah,
You know,
somebody gave me a quote the other day that, you know, they spent $76 billion on food stamps. So what if they spent $76 billion on job creation programs, like put them in a trade school to learn a trade, like medical assistant, dental assistant. They can maybe become a welder, maybe become, you know, something like that. Give them a trade and be like this.
Well,
okay, if they give them a trade with that money, just hear me out. If they would give them a trade that they can make good money, let them stay on welfare for 1 year after they have that job. One of them jobs have job placement assistance. As long as they complete that trade school and go to that job, you know, then after that they be off of, you know, that school for a year, cut them off, then you know they got a trade, then they can't come back on the system and say, you know what, we know good and well you got medical assistant, dental assistant. We know you're a welder. We know, you know, you are a journeyman or something like that. That's what they need to do. But they don't do that because they want to keep people poor and dependent on the government. And that's why I can't stand about Democrats. They don't try to get people from, you know, poverty to middle class. No, because that keeps them in power. Oh, we'll just, you know, give you programs. Man, the programs are not getting people nowhere. It's not feeding nobody's family. And now with that part of it, I agree with Republicans. Because, see, if I had to be president, they probably want to shoot me because I cut everybody off. be like it was prior, because we didn't always have welfare in America.
No, we didn't. And people keep saying if we cut welfare off, people are going to die. But before welfare, people were feeding their families just fine.
Let me tell you what happened when they cut off welfare.
I mean, it's gotten worse.
People are resilient. The human instinct going to kick in, and they're going to feed themselves. That's what's going to happen. They're not going to starve. But
if I can say one more quick point, if you just look back 100 years ago, black people had trade kind of jobs. You know, they were welders and mechanics and doing things like that. But if you look at the pop culture and the media, it just throws in your head, be a drug dealer, you know, gangbanger. This is the cool thing to do. It's not cool to pick up a book. It's not cool to educate yourself on history and current events. That's not the cool thing to do. The cool thing to do is out there smoking weed, hanging out with your boys, you know, drinking and chasing women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
And my wife made a point that when they had no welfare, we didn't have a problem dressing right either. Everybody dressed like they had some sense, you know. But the thing is, but like I say, I'm about to go to another caller. I got other people holding on the line. Appreciate your calls, man.
I did want to bring up a point though before we go to the next caller. I noticed that about 10 minutes ago, you brought up Django and a lot of these slave movies, 12 Years a Slave. My opinion on these slave movies, I don't watch them personally because Django is a fantasy version of slavery. Slavery was not Django, okay?
No, I know.
That's not
I
even.
That.
I mean, I could.
But no, but
I mean,
I'm,
if
but
you've
the way
seen the conditions on slave ships and you've seen the way that slaves really were treated, Django is like the Disney Channel version of slavery. That's not even.
They got roughed up pretty good in that movie. I mean, you got to admit that.
Okay. Black people were more than roughed up. They had body parts.
I know, but in that movie, it wasn't like.
That movie was more so like fantasy. Like, they had about slavery or comedy. Like, the funny part to me was the Klan when they tried to go get them and everything. And the Klan talking about, like, oh, like, my wife made these hoods for us and we got to wear them. And that was funny to me. I thought it was funny. You know what I mean? But I got a weird thing about that. You know, but let me get to the next call, Ms. Gabriella. It's been waiting here for a little while. Area code 912, you on the show.
Hey, brother Advisor, it's Mr. Superboy.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, brother? You know, I've been sitting here listening to your show, and I'm going to respect your guests, okay? But a lot of the talking points that people are using, the same things they've been regurgitating since our parents were kids. First of all, all blacks don't use that slur. It wasn't until 20 years ago, until when NWA came out, when we first heard it, that was shocking. And record executives thought that they can make money and shock people by doing that. Then you had your Two Live Crews and your Ice T's. When people in that community started to push back against that, the lawyers started to say it's a term of endearment. And that's what every bought paid black celebrity has been using for the last 20 years. Now you have people throwing it back in our face.
Well, maybe it wasn't a good idea.
Pardon me?
I said maybe it wasn't a good idea to...
No, it wasn't a good idea. Because the people in the black community did push back against their word. It's just that when you have people on TV saying that, and they keep saying it over and over, people believe what they see on television. I don't greet another black man with that slur. I don't even like using the word N-word. Either you're going to say it or you just say it's a slur. I don't like people saying, well, blacks get to say that word. My question is, why would you want to say that word? What are you getting out of it?
I don't want to say it, and I don't see why white
Harvey,
give me a second. But James, earlier you were saying that, well, blacks can use it, but whites can't use it. And, like, what he's saying is, like, well, why are you bringing up that argument? Why do you want to say it? And I say the same thing, too, when white people bring that up. Like, why do you want to say it if you know the history of it, you know, in relation to...
I don't understand why blacks want to say it.
Because you know why? Because they want to be able to say it without repercussions. That's what it boils down to. Because usually when somebody get caught saying their word, it's repercussions behind it. And people want to be able to go back to that time where they can say it and hide behind it. That's why if you watch my videos, I've told brothers and sisters, quit using that. And then we keep talking about these statistics. Like you said, nobody never asks us our opinion. There are black men in our community who raise their families, who want to protect their families, but you have a system that creates criminals. You have people that bring drugs, alcohol, all kind of vices into our community, and then when people start to use them because of depression or because they haven't been taught or exposed, and then people say, look at them. There are more white people in public system than black people. But yet, the very same white people that criticize black people, they go in the supermarket and try to hide their welfare cards and all that stuff.
That's a good question. That's a good question, James. I've seen that. They have black people and white people on public assistance. I read the numbers. There are more cases filed for welfare by white people than black people, okay? Point blank. That's in the numbers. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is it that white people feel like they're better than blacks and even call welfare N-word insurance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But yet they taking the same N-word insurance, too.
I don't say that N-word insurance.
I didn't say James says a word. I'm just asking the question. You talking about, you know, like white people's train of thought. So we taking advantage of you being here and asking the question. So
sure,
I haven't
heard that term used, the N-word insurance. I know that there are a lot of, especially white females, mothers or whatever, that are on welfare. And in the white community, I wouldn't even say white community, I would just say more upper class. Because, look, what you got to understand is white people get discriminated against, too. They get looked down upon, on too, but it's not as cut and dry.
But by other white people.
Can I continue?
Harvey, let it finish, Harvey.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's more of a class issue. I mean, you hear about the one percenters. You hear about the Occupy Wall Street and all this. I mean, I've got family that live in rich areas, and when I go there, I mean, I can relate to black people because I know that black people will get discriminated against, but we get discriminated by rich white folks too. Because I'm middle class, I go to a rich neighborhood, and they can just smell that you don't have money, and they snub their nose at you. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I know that there's white people that are on welfare, just like there is black people. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I can't really answer that question because I never heard that term used. I know that some white people are, but what I'm trying to say is white people are educated people. They look down on white people, too, and not just black people, especially when it comes to welfare. And they always talk about, especially like in the South. I mean, there's a lot of white people. There's a lot of ignorant people in the South. I mean, a lot of ignorant white people in the South. I'm from the South. I was born in Mississippi, and I lived there for a long time. So, a lot of people, talk about hillbillies, rednecks, white trash, this, that, and the other. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but
Harvey, anything you say to that?
Okay, first of all, let me say I apologize for interrupting. I mean, I don't want anybody playing it to a stereotype. But you have to understand, if you understand that the so-called 1% of white America is screwing over just not blacks but whites, why don't you join us instead of voting against your own economic interests? It goes back down to skin tone. You keep not you. Hear me out. Let me explain this. When blacks say you, we're not directly talking about you. That's just a euphemism that we use. Okay. And so let me explain that. It baffles the hell out of me that poor whites or middle class whites will vote Republican when Republicans don't even want to have health care. Jobs have been outsourced, and when blacks have been saying this for the last 60, 70 years about subprime loans or red line, as they used to say back in the day, health care, here it is, blacks fighting wars just like white people. I served in Iraq. There are white guys dying along with black guys, and yet we come back home. We got to fight for benefits, but the people in Washington that we elect every two to four years, they screw us over. Black people are not your enemy. We're not the ones telling you to vote. I'm not saying you. Let me say this again. That's the problem in this country. And I'm not saying you per se, but white people have been conditioned to think that because another white person is telling them that everything is going to be okay, that they're going to be okay. See, we live in reality. When I walk out my front door, I know the world sees me as a black man. And I got to be 20 steps ahead of everybody else. I can't slip up. There are young brothers and sisters in our community who are messing up, but it's done on purpose. If you take resources out of the community, if you purposely break up families, if you purposely sending men to jail for 30, 40 years that could have been doctors, lawyers, or custodians or teachers and stuff, that's a vacuum. This is not something that blacks wake up and say, oh, I'm gonna just want to have kids out of wedlock, or I don't want my community to be anything. This has increased the last 25 years. I remember being a little kid in 1987 seeing adults tell my parents' age, don't discipline your children, don't do this, don't do that. If you do this, you're a bad parent. So the last 20 years, parents have been afraid to say things. Now you have these kids who are now in their early 20s running roughshod. Now everybody want to say, well, the black family is screwed up. If people outside of our community stop butting into our business and let us do what we used to do, we can correct these issues. And another thing, the previous caller, I'm not attacking them, dropped Herman Cain, Ben Carson, then said he was an independent. Independents don't drop Ben Carson's name or Herman Cain or talk about what the Republicans are doing and then throw out these phony statistics. Anybody can throw out a false number. We're now 14% of the population. It's more people of color in this country than you can admit. But because people keep picking and choosing who they want to be white one minute, who they want to be black the next, or come up these artificial terms like Hispanic or Latino, a Latina or Asian or Hindu, whatever, it's always going to be this divide.
Sure. I agree with that. I feel like we reinforce separation among each other when we have these different groups, these white groups or these black groups or whatever. It's like, I mean, it would be nice if nobody even saw, color, honestly. But, I mean, even Martin Luther King talked about how we needed to unite. But, I mean, it just hasn't really happened that way.
But the thing is, James, you're talking about uniting, James. Like, say, and really, I agree with you, but like, really, everybody, like what Harvey's saying, we are not each other's enemy. Understand something. You talk about this economy. These politicians have shipped off all our manufacturing jobs to China. And if everybody would get together and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy Chinese products. That's what stuff we need to do. We need to boycott these oil companies for all these extreme, you know, gas prices. Things we all need to get together to help each other out. But we don't do that because we focus on, well, hey, long as I'm good. Because, see, look, James, this is how black people feel a lot of times. You know, when we losing our jobs, we losing our homes and everything, it's, you know, it's okay. But the moment white people start losing their stuff, oh, my God, it's a problem. And you know, it's like black people be like, man, we've been dealing with this stuff for years. Now all of a sudden it's a problem. Now, a sister talked about something else the other day I read on Facebook. I forgot that sister's name. And she was saying, you know, they've been locking black men up for years for selling weed. Now all of a sudden she said white men going to start selling weed, try to make it legal and make it big business, and they not going to go to jail for it. And I said, wow, that's kind of a point.
And Brother Vasha, I did a video about that. I said, I think it's hypocritical. For the last 30 or 40 years, brothers have gotten selling these for a dime bag, and then now because everybody got their ninja moment, now all of a sudden, let's make it legal. Are they going to clear those people records? Are they going to give restitution to those people they sent to jail? Because me, I don't think any black person should get behind this, because our community has been destroyed by these so-called drug wars. And now all of a sudden, because everybody else is starting to feel what we felt, now all of a sudden they want to make this legal. See, the problem what we do as black people, we let everybody into our group. We let everybody have a say. Like, I'm not attacking your guests or anything. I'm listening to what he said. But a lot of his talking points are a lot of the same things that people who don't want to listen say to us. Look, we're not a monolithic group of people like white people. In my videos, I even give white people the benefit of the doubt because I don't know every white person on the planet. Like, they don't know every black person on the planet. But it boils down to a generational selective outrage. As long as you guys are getting it, fine. Because welfare was not created for my people. Welfare was created because of the Great Depression. But when the blacks started making strides during the Civil Rights Movement, saying we're American citizens, hey, we need help. When Lyndon Johnson put the war on poverty, they put restrictions in. In the white community, they never told white men, you can't live in your home while you're getting public assistance. They did that to black men. If a black man saw his son or daughter or wife hungry, he had to leave in order to get food on that table. Then we came back. The government made sure they was home. They would go to search closets, under bed. So after a while, that guy, what did he got to do to eat? He had to go out there and get a hustle on. if they, because my father used to work before he went to Vietnam. He was working good jobs. But when a white guy went in there and said, wait a minute, I want his position, they fired my father on the spot. And there's nothing my father could have done. But see, because my father was raised a certain way, he said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to the military, do what I got to do.
Was it because he was black?
Pardon me?
Did they fire him because he was black?
Yes, it happens. I know, and I know it's hard to believe, but yes, people do fire us because we're black. I've gone to interviews where people, they hear my name, and they're like, you're, and you can see them, you can see they fumble it. They try to trip you up. They think that we don't travel. They think we're not educated. They think they're not well around it. They think our parents don't teach us right from wrong. I love it. Here's the thing.
You could be right. I mean, I'm just, like I said, I know the racism exists, but like people get fired. I mean, you know, how do you know that it was because he was black? That's why whenever I was talking about the race part earlier,
all the time, because he was black.
And I always buy it. I'm like, really? Are you sure it's because he was black? Because you know that white people get fired too, you know?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. After 500 years, black people know racism. Trust me. A lot of people think if you see somebody, you know, white, sheen, pointy hat, that's racist. If you hear a certain slur, that's racist. Yeah, white people speak in code speak, and black people have gotten used to their code speak. When people use the word thug, we know how it's used a certain way. I don't have no problem people using the word thug, but that word has become a go-to word. When people say, when Hillary Clinton was running, back in the day, you say uppity, but then she kept saying elitist. Just because people do cold speak, don't think blacks don't know what it is. When I go into a room with the first 5 minutes of a conversation I have with a white person, I can tell what I'm dealing with. Because there's certain things that are going to be said and certain reactions. Because when I'm dealing with somebody who's racist, they either can't look me in the face or they got this look like they want to cut my throat. Trust me. And people know this. And people think that blacks don't know. And then when people say, well, how do you know? Oh, it's other ways I know, but I'm not going to say because I don't believe in telling everybody everything we do. That's the problem in the black community. We telegraph everything. Believe me, I know when I'm dealing with a racist. Believe me, you ain't got to say a slur. You ain't got to be wearing a white hat or pointy sheet. When you start asking me questions and talking to me like I'm an idiot, I know what I'm talking. I know when people are jerks. Believe me, I've met jerks. But certain things they say. I was in the Army. I was in Iraq. One of my fellow soldiers brought about the Black Panther Party. I said, wait a minute. We got Iraqis trying to kill us. You want to talk about the Black Panther Party? What the hell is that? Just to see if you get a reaction out of me.
Let me tell you something about white people. All right, I'm not trying to say anything negative to you, but here's the thing: you might think that they're discriminating against you because you're black. White people love black people. If they see a guy who's black who's supposed who's just he's a nice guy, but what they do profile or white people do profile or that they don't like. I'll tell you what they do. They like people that are politically correct. I don't know why. It kind of bothers me sometimes. But one thing that white people don't like are people with attitude or coming at them like, I mean, right now when you're talking to me, it seems like you've got a chip on your shoulder. You know what I'm saying? White people, I'm not saying me.
Okay.
I have a chip on my shoulder. But when some black people come at them and they seem like, oh, you know, pointing the finger, oh, it's because I'm black or, you know, they have this attitude with them, that's what they don't like. It's not because you're black. If you came to them in a more respectful way, then they'd be like, hey, man, like they would talk to you.
Let me stop you right there.
Harvey, let me interject on something on this. See, I'm glad you brought that up because as black people, we are very passionate people. We're very expressive people. And, you know, I noticed that unless we are the Carlton Banks type of black man, that's the type of black man that's safe to be around white people. Mm-hmm. We're real animated. We're real strong, you know, forceful. We don't put up with no crap. Right. Oh, well, he's a troublemaker. He's this and he's that. And you just expressed that just now. What he said that
yeah,
Harvey
he did.
Came. See, I know. Right. I heard everything Harvey was saying to you. Well, hold on. Let me finish, James. I heard everything Harvey was saying to you, and I know when somebody black having an attitude and like being ugly, I would have stepped in like Harvey.
I'm not
come
saying
on,
he's
stop,
having
man.
An attitude, but it sounds like he has a chip on his shoulder.
But no, he okay. No. See right there what you just said. See, when you think that a black person has a chip on their shoulder because they're very passionate about the things that they've been through in this country, in the area of their skin tone and their skin color, and they've seen this stuff over and over and over, it can make you feel a certain way.
I totally agree, and I understand where he's coming from, but you just don't understand. I'm telling you what white people, how they perceive things, if they don't know you especially.
Can I say this real quick, and people take how it is. The problem is people are not used to dealing with an alpha black male. They're used to the yeser. They're used to the person that's smiling, nod, and I'm not that dude. I don't have a chip on my shoulder, but I tell you what I hate. I've served my country, nearly died for my country, and every time I wake up and turn on television, I hear about some example of somebody mistreating another black man or black woman. Don't get me wrong. I don't take up with people who screw ups. And if anybody watch my videos, no, I've probably been harder on my people in some of my videos with some of my critiques. But when people sit there and say, you got a chip on your shoulder without even knowing me, and just because I might be a little animated a little bit, that tells you you already have a preconceived idea about not just me, but the people you interact with. I'm not saying you per se. My thing is that when I walk out the front door, people don't see Harvey. They see that black guy. I got to watch the way I walk, the way I dress, the way I talk. Hell, I got to watch the way I drive my vehicle. I don't ride down the street with loud music. I don't wear a hat on backwards. My pants are not down to my knees. But yet, when I go in the stores, you know what people say to me? Can you afford this? What? Can I afford this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you've never been to the store and have someone say, this has happened to me. You've never been – I've never seen another white person go through this. Have you ever been to a store and gone to the checkup line or checkout line and had the cashier say, will that be cash or EBT? And they didn't say it to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say it to you. They won't say it to any other customer in the store, but they'll say it to you. And they'll say, will that be cash or EBT?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't understand. I like that idea that that Phil said in his one of his videos. He said that, maybe you said it as a joke. But I would really like if that show that you suggested would actually be real. You said they should make a show called The Black Experience. Take a bunch of white people, get a makeup team, paint them black, put an Afro wig on them, and let them see what it feels like. Go to a grocery store. Go to a grocery store and have people follow you around. Go to a black women can't go to a beauty supply store without having people
I
think that's what we need to do.
Sometimes you don't understand until you walk through other people's shoes.
You know what?
I'm willing to do it.
You know what, guys? Let me say this real quick. If you're going to do that experiment, let them do it for a year. Not no day, not no week, a year. I guarantee they will crack up. That's why they say black men, and we get in our 30s and 40s, our heart is the age of a 60-year-old because we deal with this stress every day. See,
and
white people have never had to live with – pardon me?
I'm sorry, but I cannot remember the title of this book. But if you Google it, I'm pretty sure it'll come up. There's a book written by a white man, and he took some type of tanning pills or something. I don't know what he did.
Oh,
white
I know
man.
That. It's a movie. It's a movie about it. It's an imitation of life.
What if it was like being black? And
it's,
he wanted to see what it was like to be
black.
Black
it's called black. It's called Black Like Me. It's called Black mm-hmm. Like Me. It's based off a true story. Matter of fact, I got the DVD. I was watching the other day. What happened was this guy, he started at the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. He saw the injustice, but he said he can sympathize, but he got to experience that. And when he went and experienced it, he almost cracked up because he couldn't understand the daily indignities that black men and women go through. You know, my thing is this. A lot of the images that white people are being fed is being fed a lot by media and politicians. And that's why when people start throwing up Oprah Winfrey or Michael Jordan or Bill Cosby as example, my eyes roll because they are paid. So they're entertainers. They are paid. They're going to pair it whatever the people in the corporations or the focus groups want them to say. I mean, think about it. When Trayvon Martin was murdered, how many of those people that we've made multimillionaires came out and was forceful and stood with the family or the community? Matter of fact, when George Zimmerman was acquitted, they critiqued Trayvon Martin for just doing what most kids do, walking from a store, going home to watch an all-star game. I've never seen any black person take pleasure in the death of somebody else's child. When those 20-something people died, those 12 kids got killed and saying that I didn't see any websites, I didn't see any Facebook pages or T-shirts being sold. We don't do that kind of stuff. See, everybody want to make us the villain, but we hold up a mirror. They say, what about y'all? What about y'all? It's this false equivalent, and I'm tired of it. And like I said, if people think I'm an angry black man, so be it. But I don't like people playing on my intelligence or my community intelligence.
Okay, well, with that said, Harvey, I'm going to have to get to the next call, brother. I appreciate you calling and, you know, like I said, you know, stopping by. You know, I say when I heard you talk, I said, uh-oh, Harvey here.
Yeah, you better stop me because I can go with your show.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get these other calls, but I appreciate you calling in, Harvey.
You have a good one, and thank you, James,
yeah, okay,
for being patient with me.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
James, I told you you were stepping into the Lions Den to come on this show. Didn't I tell you that?
I knew I was coming into the Lions Den. I mean, I knew it. I was second-guessing. People were like, man, what are you, crazy?
No,
but,
you're brave. I give you an A for effort because you're brave. Because not a whole lot of white people step into that. And you show how much heart you got. Let me get to another call.
I want this to be a learning experience that I could grow from. You know, I mean,
I'm pretty sure you learned a lot tonight. Area code 307. You on the show?
Hello.
Area code 307. Yeah. Hello.
How you doing? My name's David. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm a fan of the show. When you say things like common sense approach, I agree with you. You are a very common sense man. I appreciate the things you say, and I listen to you.
Thank you for being supportive, and it means a lot when somebody, you know, is supportive, because you don't see how much trolling and negativity I get a day in that YouTube. So thank you for saying that.
Oh, my pleasure. One of the things I wanted to talk about first of all, the previous caller, not the individual who was just on, but the one before that, he's actually my best friend. He's sitting right next to me. But we came from the same place, and he's a Spanish person, got some black in him. I'm a white guy.
Okay.
Well, and me and him came from a place. We came from a place. For the most part, I want to say, is a very Spanish and black neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that definitely started to get on my nerves was I noticed that being a white guy, you don't see too many white people from where I'm from. So, you know, I guess to get to the chase here is I was working at this Burger King, and I was like maybe the one white guy that worked there. And thing that, I guess I'd want to call it reverse racism or something to that effect, where it's like, if I'm a white guy, I'm automatically, I hate everybody. You know, and that bothered me.
I feel that way too.
You know, it was something that really bothered me out. Now, don't get me wrong, I have an understanding that a lot of people of a lot of different races have had a really hard time, especially in this country, with people with my skin color. So I automatically go into the understanding that if somebody's kind of assumes that I'm racist, then, you know what, there might be because a lot of people are racist, you know, or the history of our country and whatnot. But, like, here's a perfect example. I was a cash register. I was a clerk for the cash register. And a black gentleman walked into the store, and I assumed he was a customer. I didn't think anything of it, no one way or another. But he just needed to use the bathroom. He walks past like this door, and as he walks past the door, I realize the door is open. Now there's actually a sign on the side of the door that this individual can't see that says this door must be remain closed at all times. And then since I saw him walk by, I was like, oh, you know what? The door is open. Let me just go close that. So I go close the door. This gentleman, something around 40 years old, stops, turns around, says, did you close the door because I'm black? And I'm like, no. No, are you asking me that because I'm white? I just have to close the door. That's all it is. It's not really fair for you to assume
something
of me that you
like,
don't know.
I'm gonna keep it real. They got some black people that will say that. Like, you know, they just kind of carry that a little bit too far. I don't do that. I mean, something got to be the
I've never done that at all.
I've had that happen to me. I don't say somebody's racist unless I got some concrete evidence that's what they are. Because that's, to me, that's a heavy term to throw at somebody, and I know how that can get. Speaking of that, I used to work with a guy. He used to love to get a kick out of, like, he was a black guy. He used to love a kick out of making white people, like, agitated. So anytime they would tell him something, he'd say, you know what? You just told me that because I'm black. No, I didn't say that because you were black. And he used to laugh about it. It was a kick, you know, it was a kick thing to him, you know. But
That's cruel to do to a white man.
You know, it's like he used to get a kick out of doing that. And I used to tease him.
Yeah,
I used to tease him. I said, you know why they made you first today? And he said, why?
I'm not the super
black.
I'm a bit rough around the edges with certain things. So I can I could see the humor in that. I can understand, you know, busting people's chops of laughter. It's kind of the point of comedy most of the time. So that I can see. On the other side of that, when I was a younger, much younger person, I went to I was in the real bad poverty stage of my family's life, my life, and we lived in the real poor part of town. Now, unfortunately, coincidentally, the majority of the people that lived there were black, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't predisposed to racism. I didn't know what racism was until, you know, I learned about it in school, that, you know, certain things. I just saw other people as, well, people, you know. I didn't, you know, skin wasn't a thing. It was just, you know, whatever. So my point here is, well, I'd walk home, and every day I would get jumped by a whole bunch of people. And these are people who I was laughing with 20 minutes beforehand. People who were just like, you know, they were just laughing it up. We were answering questions in class. Everyone's nice. Somebody asked me for a pencil. I give it to them. I'll ask someone else for a pen. You know, school stuff. And then
I hope
all
you
of a sudden,
be laughing with them the next day.
So basically, you're saying they were jumping you because you were white?
Yes. And
well,
you know,
yeah,
let me
speak about that.
Hey, I had black people jump on me because, you know what, I'm not going to talk about colorism, but...
well, the thing is, yes, that yes, they got some black people, and they are very big.
Well,
yes,
cute.
They are.
They'll beat up other girls because they're cuter.
Yeah.
It was a colorism. It was a colorism thing, but we're not going to address it because you wouldn't.
Yeah, because you know, because like I said, because we're going to wrap.
Miss Gabriella,
we're going to kind of wrap this call up. I got some people just holding on. We got like 22 minutes and 48 seconds.
Right.
I need to get these calls in.
There was one thing that I wanted to say real quick, and that was actually directed towards James, and it was something one of the comments he said about how movies and slavery and stuff. And I have a friend of mine, very close friend. I'm not going to say her name, but we had a huge argument about the difference between the Holocaust and slavery. And after a while, I thought Holocaust was probably worse, and my opinion changed when I realized some of the specifics and the facts about it. That you know, maybe, you know, I was like 11 million or 16 million Jews died in the Holocaust, but 400 million people died in slavery in the United States. Now, I'm not going to say one is worse than the other.
Don't even talk about the countless towns that were destroyed, like Little Africa. You can check that video out on my website. I mean, I'm sorry, on my YouTube channel. Or places like Rosewood, Florida, and all this other stuff that was done to
slavery.
I hate to cut you off. But I'm getting toward the end of the show. I need to get these calls in. Appreciate you calling.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hello. Okay, caller with all ones. You on the show?
Hello. I just had a couple things to say real quick. First of all, I know your guest is white, and I have to agree with the guy who was saying he was an angry black man. But my thing is,
yeah,
that was Superboy 223.
Yeah, that was Harvey Superboy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I agreed with a lot that he had to say. But a thing I wanted to say is, for one, we have to stop being, that's our concern is what do white people think. We have to stop that. That has gotten us nowhere, and it will continue to get us nowhere. It should not be about what white people think about us, what they care, or what they feel about what's going on.
Have you listened to the whole show? Have you been online the whole time?
I've been on here for about 40 minutes.
Okay. Well, if you heard this show, it's not really about what white people think. We're
right,
just trying to have
right.
a dialogue. We're trying to have a
no,
dialogue
no, no.
to see their minds, to white people's mindset to different things. Because me personally,
no,
I can care less what anybody think. No, I'm just saying from my opinion. I can care less what anybody think about me, black, white, in between. Don't care. I'm a grown man. I do what I want to do. You don't like me, I don't like you either. And three people that don't look like you. So that's just me.
But if I show.
Yeah, I understand what the topic is. I'm just saying that, you know, that's a problem amongst us, is that we're always concerned about how white people view us instead of thinking about ourselves and what we need to be doing with each other. But I also wanted to say, too, that two big problems with black people besides that is, one, we always love to react. We are never proactive about our community. We wait until there's something goes so wrong, so bad, and then we want to come out and cry and whine and scream about it. Like, you can even look at with Trayvon Martin and Joy Mavis. You can even look at those situations. How long have things like that been happening, not only by white people, but by other black people? But nobody's talking about it. But then
and,
when
and
it
see,
happens,
that's the
we
thing.
Come
what
out.
You just, what you just said, like, well, what makes me mad is that, like, and then white people like to use that argument, but it is kind of legitimate. They say, okay, well, when Michael Dunn and Jordan, and George Zimmerman killed a black person, y'all
right.
all up in arms. But when
right.
Tay-Tay down the street killed about three or four black people, where's Al Sharpton? Where's Jesse? And I
exactly.
think they should be out there
exactly.
a whole lot more for that, because to me, you are a traitor to the community than more
exactly.
so than those who's killing outside the community.
And
that's my opinion.
Problem is we are so reactive, we are not proactive. Whereas we could have been doing something about
decades ago. The way we do that, sister, we change that by trying to turn around the mindset in the community and promote
right.
the good people and, you know, exit out all the coons that we have in our community. We
mm-hmm.
have a lot of coons,
mm-hmm.
and I tell people all day long, I don't tap dance a master. I don't care about it. That's me.
And what it's going to take is, because I wanted to give a solution too, but what it's going to take is, we have to stop being concerned about the stragglers, the people who don't care, Ray Ray and Pookie, and
you're
them that's on
the
block.
You're talking about,
to you're
talking about, I know
guilty.
What you're talking about. We need to focus on the progressive black people.
Yeah, pointed out that out earlier, that we should stop giving shine to people that don't deserve it.
Exactly.
Because
we got to move
I've
on.
Seen,
or,
from
or
the beginning
haters.
Of YouTube, I've seen people make hundreds of videos talking about the hood rats, talking about
mm-hmm.
whatever the people that
I
really
black
don't
people
do
to get
anything.
Rich.
I mean, I would like to see black people be more progressive, but we need to start giving
yeah, but
more.
That's a simple fix, though. It's not really that hard.
It is.
I mean,
it's
you
not.
Go back, you go right back to what you know. This is the thing. You go back to what worked. What worked? Family worked. Family structure worked for us.
That's my last point. What you're saying about family. That's my last point, and that's a big key to this. One of the best things that we can do to help the black community, everybody is talking about what's wrong and what's going on, but one of the best things we can do is move forward and build the black family. The thing that white people, and no offense to your white guests, but white people, the thing that white people are the most scared of, the thing they're most afraid of, is not a black dude with a gun or a criminal crook black dude. They are scared of a heterosexual, strong, and intelligent black man. They are fearful of, I mean, they are so scared. They shaking their boots at that type of man, because that type of man is going to be the one who's going to demand respect. He's going to stand up. He's likely to be more radical, to want to do things in his community and for his people. He's less easier to manipulate. He's less easier to, intimidate. You can get somebody who is a homosexual, and I'm sorry, it just is what it is. You can get somebody like that, or somebody who's not very intelligent, you can get them and manipulate them into doing things you want to do. If you look into society, into countries, I mean, not countries, but into companies, you will see that the men who tend to get higher up tend to be homosexual black men, or like you said, black men who are very Carlton-esque, or you have to be very mild-mannered. Any black man who is strong in his blackness and he stands up, he will be pushed down. So that's the thing. We have to have
But the thing is, you're right about that to a point, but what I want to add about that is that that's why you have this attack right now on black male masculinity with all this skirt wearing. And that's why I am going full frontal assault against the skirt wearing. I even get a T-shirt today in my Spreadshirt store about real men don't wear skirts. That's number one. I got the show next week going to be talking about that twisting skirt wearing. I ain't for it because I see what they're trying to do. See what they're trying to do with the skirt wearing?
Yeah.
They're trying to push the homosexual agenda. So what they're trying to do with it is trying to feminize the straight male as possible when you can't tell the difference. Once you can't tell the difference, hey, who can't, you know what I'm
saying? Look at basketball and football. Look at basketball and football. It's people coming out, and they always black. And those are sports that black men religiously are into and have been into and been the biggest in are those two sports. It's all a plan with the skirts and everything, just like
you
said.
It is, but at the same time, somebody can push agendas all day, but we have these sold-out black men that I would have never thought in my life. I mean, I was showing my daughter that you have Vin Diesel twirling in a dress. Twirling in a dress. I couldn't believe it. I mean, black man after black man, Omar Epps.
Absolutely.
And then you had people arguing with me on my Facebook page and, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And this and that.
Right.
They were mad at me for saying that.
But see, those are the clones right there. Those are the clones. Because if black people open their eyes. This stuff is not hard to see. It's not hard. It's not complicated. You don't have to be super intelligent. All you have to do is pay attention. But people are too busy on Facebook. People are too busy trying to get some weave. People are too busy trying to get their weave done. People are too busy with those types of pointless things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I did. But those are pointless things. People are concerned with that. So when it gets time to the real stuff,
let's ask James a question. James, now we noticed when black girls was twerking, it was called all nasty. Now white girls are twerking, it's called cute. Why is that? Why when white girls do something that black girls are doing, it's okay, but when black girls are doing it, it's called nasty?
You didn't see the backlash that Miley Cyrus got from twerking?
Oh, that wasn't backlash. She got promoted. It
wasn't backlash.
She's still doing that and worse now. He's doing work.
He got media attention.
James, do me a favor. After this radio show, just go on YouTube and type white girl twerk. They got more white girls twerking half naked on YouTube just as much as the black girl.
I like all the twerking videos. I don't know what you're talking about.
But it became legitimate.
I'm joking.
It became legitimate when Miley Cyrus did it. Now it's legitimate. Before it was them nasty black girls, and then strippers do that. But when she did it, now it's okay. It's all over the headlines.
And the media, twerk. The media talking about it every 5 minutes.
White fashion editorial teaching how to twerk now. So it's cool. It's cute now.
And white people that's 80 years old, they know what twerking means now.
That's
you know what I'm saying? And that's ridiculous. Just like bling, everything is taken from black people that we say. The word bling, we said, black people said that years ago. But then
the dialogue or the language, I mean, I think you get stuff from every, you know, white people.
Black people contribute.
I mean, everyone contributes. I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, like, are we supposed to, like,
the only thing black people have an issue with? We don't care if you sing like us, dance like us, take words. But what happens with a lot of times with white culture, you will learn it and you will snatch it as your own and act like you don't.
Exactly.
You forgot who created it and be like, I don't know who we originated that. And we're putting a patch on it and everything.
I thought you guys were the ones that shouldn't be worrying about what white folks think.
Exactly.
It's not about thinking. Hold on. It had nothing to do with think. It's like it's taking from our culture and not giving homage to where it comes from. That has nothing to do with who think what.
And I just want to say one more thing.
Was there a patent on twerking? I don't know if there was somebody patenting that. It's not about it being a patent. That was the 90s.
That was old. That's even in Africa. They were shaking their butt in Africa, okay? So it has nothing to do with the I mean, it has nothing to do with the patent on twerking. It's just that just like rap music, and it, actually just like rock music,
yes,
there's certain rock things music. That came, there are certain things that we have created that have gotten twisted and changed into something else, and now it's mainstream, now it's cool. Rock music, for
just
example.
Just like hip-hop, Macklemore.
All that stuff, all, I mean,
rock
rap
music?
Yes, rock music did originate
black?
With black people. Yes, it was.
I thought I thought Elvis was the originator. But I could be wrong.
Elvis
learned how to dance from black people, and he learned his style of music from black people. But then this is just like twerking. Okay? I'm not saying that everything is taken from black people, but what I'm saying is that certain things are taken out of our culture, twisted into something else, and then they're made mainstream, and we don't get any credit for it. Pretty soon, twerking will be, everybody's going to remember twerking for something that Miley Cyrus did. They're not going to think about all the years before. They're going to forget all about Luke and the Two Live Crew and all those videos.
Are you talking about white people or
all
black
that stuff's going to be forgotten.
Are you talking about white people won't remember or black people won't remember it?
Black
that's
people
called
know. But
the
future,
white,
just in general.
The black people will know where it came from, and that's okay,
mainstream,
right?
America
don't
will
care.
Forget.
I don't care about what white people think.
It's not about what white people think, but we want credit for what we do. When I say we shouldn't care about what white people think, in other words, I'm talking about we need to be caring about what's going on in our communities. We need to be putting ourselves first, our needs first.
Let me say this about Elvis. Elvis was, I mean, he was an individual, and he started his own thing. I mean, what did you want him to do? Was he supposed to get up there?
He might
have gotten influenced or inspired some by black people a little bit from white people, all different types of people.
Then why couldn't he have black artists?
Black culture. I don't know. I mean, he did his own thing. He was an individual, and that's
then
how he
did it. Then don't give him all the credit if you don't know the story behind it.
Why? I mean, he's the one. He's the face of it. He's the one that started it.
But how genuine is it when you stole it from somebody else?
Am I supposed to talk about his, you know, his wardrobe manager, too? I mean, it was Elvis.
But see, that right there is a philosophy that a lot of black people do not like in white people. That right there is because you make it like it's so simple. It's so simplistic. Oh, well, so what? It does matter. And if Elvis took the stuff from black people, why could he not have black people in his band, in up there showing, hey, this is who I got this from? No, he took it and made it all white and tried to act like he is the originator of it. And I have a problem with that.
He was the originator of his music. He took something from somebody, and then he made his own stuff. It's not like he just
And that's what's been going on forever, just like now with Macklemore. You know, he beat out Kendrick Lamar. How was that possible? But this is the world we live in.
I was listening to the Advice show the other night, and somebody came on, I can't remember the guy's name, somebody came on the show and was talking about the Advice show stole from him. And I couldn't figure out what it was he thought the Advice show stole from him. But I was the whole time I was sitting up there thinking, like, why does it matter? Why does he have to, you know, like, I don't even know what it was. But if he got inspired, maybe he did get inspired by you. But it seems like, you know, why, if he took some ideas from this person and made it into his own thing, why does he have to give credit to, he would have to give credit to a bunch
because
of
because the people who made the people.
And would it be specifically single black people or just all black people? Are you included in that? Did you help create that music as a single individual person?
Because I'll tell you why, though. I'll tell you why it matters. Because the people who made that, the people who started that, they never got recognition for it. So how would you feel these people went and they did all of this stuff, like if you want to talk about Elvis or talk about Macklemore, these people before them did all of these things, and they never got accolades for it. They never got shown for it. They never made money and sold records. But then
there's
now when the person who's doing
there's
the same thing and took from them come along white, my gosh.
So many black artists, so many black hip-hop artists, so many black singers, so many black bands, even back in the 60s and 70s. I mean, you know, Like, what do you, I mean, you're acting like white people just stole all of black people's music and used it for themselves, and black people didn't get to reap any of the benefits. That's not true at all. I don't agree with that.
We didn't. In comparison to, are you serious? Do you know who runs the record labels? Who owns the record companies? Who are the big wigs behind it? For every black
every
artist that you see,
black artist.
But that's the, every black artist that you see is a representative of about 150 white people behind them that's making the real money. They're not making the big money out there doing that. And you can only, when you sign on to do a label, you still have to be distributed by a big company.
So those companies are run by white people. Because they're running the corporation, so white people feel guilty and be like, oh, we should feel guilty because, you know, we're running the show.
It's
black
not a,
are, I mean, black people are CEOs too. Black people own companies too. I mean, are we
successful?
That's what I feel a lot of times, that black people feel like white people should feel guilty for being successful. And even the Vice show has said that before. He feels like a lot of times other black people, if we get successful, they're going to find some way to twist it and make us try to feel guilty. Oh, like he thinks he's some uppity black person because he's getting rich, because he's doing this or that. It's just like, you know what, at the end of the day, I have to say, you know what, forget you people. Forget you haters for saying all this stuff and trying to bring me down. I'm going to go to the top. And that's how every black person should think. They should say, I'm not going to listen to these ignorant
it's
black,
not
ladies,
that,
black,
that's
black,
not
black,
really,
black
but that's,
black people that are trying to hold me down. I'm going to the top regardless.
Really, okay. I'm sorry. I really don't want to cut you off. I really don't. But let's just say let's just put this into perspective. Let's say that you created something. I don't know. Maybe you made you created some product. And this is something that you and your family and many generations, maybe a two or three generations back, have created. And you guys have cultivated. You've built a culture around this
and
product.
I'll
everybody
I'll
in your
I'll
community. Okay, listen, I'm sorry. Can I finish, please, without being interrupted? You put all this time and effort into it. There's a culture behind this product. Everybody uses it. But then all of a sudden, somebody else takes this product that you and your community and a lot of other people have worked on. They take it, they stick their name on it, and they say it's theirs, and they don't give you any credit for all the work you've done. You're veering way off of what we're really trying to say.
That's why
we're
patents
not
were created.
You cannot put a patent on culture. You cannot put a patent on You can't
well,
put a
sure
patent
they, well,
on.
Done, well, that's why they were. That's why well, they're patents. You put patents on a lot of things, on music, different types of logos, phrases,
cannot,
or even the way. Look.
You can't
why,
put
why,
a patent
why,
on.
Why don't black people just take what they got and they do something with it? I mean, I see a lot of them doing it. Maybe you haven't as an individual.
The whole infrastructure is. But babe, what you're not getting
is. It's a lot bigger than.
Okay, guys, that's really back just a little bit. Basically what they're saying, James, is that, like, you know, like you know, Gabrielle explained to you. Okay, you know, they say, like, you create a special, let's say, like a hamburger or something. Yeah, if somebody got the radio turned up or something on your end, I don't know, so I'm getting feedback. Anyway. Somebody got turned up? I don't know why I'm getting feedback all of a sudden. Anyway, God, it sucks.
That's not me.
But that's where it changed pace. I think we beating a dead horse. Basically, Ms. Gabrielle is saying that, you know, like he was talking about Elvis. He said that he watched him do that. He copied him. He was labeled the king of rock and roll. But really, he really wasn't the originator of it. But really, the way it was back in his time period, of course. If they can put a white face on something and then promote that's what they're going to do.
This is my thought on that. You know, it's white or black. At the end of the day, business is a cutthroat industry. And I just feel like, at the end of the day, people are out.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move on to another call because I'm trying to get these last three calls in before we end the show.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, James, you hanging in there?
Yeah, I'm going all 12 rounds, man. But I'm hearing this like echo. I don't know what that is. I don't know where the echo's coming from.
I don't know where we had an echo all this time.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on.
It's Yeah, I don't think it's my phone.
Well, it's not me because I don't have, I mean, I'm only on Skype. I don't have the show on.
Does Gabrielle have anything?
I think it's yours because I hear it from you. Not
yeah,
from
it, it can't be me.
Yeah, because I ain't said, I haven't said anything just yet. I'm kind of separating my microphones just to see, but I've been having them kind of together the whole time and never had this background.
Hopefully you can edit this out.
Oh, it's live. You can't edit a radio show.
Well, look, hey, but look, I mean, I think it's coming from you, the advice show, because I want to hear it whenever you speak.
Well, I mean, the show's almost over, so. But I would advise you to go and look at some history, though, because some of the statements that you've made, it kind of sounds like you don't want to listen and you don't want to really understand, because you don't really – it's not that people are putting patents on twerking. It's just that this is something that has come from our culture and it's been taken from us and we haven't had any credit for it. And let's just say if black people took something from white culture, I really don't know much about white culture, but whatever it is that you guys are passionate about, I don't know, NASCAR, okay? It's almost over.
NASCAR, people, come on, say, we got better
I'm
than that.
Saying, I'm just
some
saying,
redneck
you can do
sport.
Better. I know, but it's an example, okay? It doesn't matter. Twerking does not define me. I've never twerked. I don't twerk, okay? That's just part of the culture.
Okay.
Fair enough. The show's almost over. Let's say if black people took NASCAR, we sat there and we started playing hip-hop music during the NASCAR races. We done tricked out all the cars and made them all to Pimp My Ride cars. And we had Snoop Dogg hosting it, and we didn't give white people any credit for it. Wouldn't white people feel that we've taken something from them? We've taken their culture, we've taken their heritage from them, taken something that they're very passionate about. I'm not saying you. We've taken something that a whole culture has been built around. This is something that, I mean, NASCAR might even be a family thing. This might be something that people are very passionate about, but we've taken it, we slapped black people, we painted it all black, and we made it something that's ours, and then we're not going to give anybody credit for it.
I hear you, exactly what you're saying.
That's exactly how we feel.
I think if black people did that, I think white people would love it.
No, they wouldn't.
Especially if you had Snoop Dogg there, he was pimping out these rides in Sydney. That would be awesome. I'd go to that show. There'd be some ignorant white folks, backwoods white folks, that went away. But black people take a lot of things and make it cool. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. You think white people take stuff?
Let me get to this call, guys. I got to try to end this show. I want to get these calls. I've been waiting here for a minute. Erico 857, you on the show.
Y'all been on wait for a while, man.
Oh, what's up? I know we got a lot of calls tonight.
Yeah, I was just listening. It was kind of action-packed tonight, man. I was just listening, you know, brainstorming. It was some good stuff. But I was hearing what you were saying about Elvis, and I find that kind of interesting. But the thing about I just want to say a quick thing about the Elvis. He used to go to black nightclubs and he used to copy like their style, you know, the dancing style and all that. That's why he could dance like that. And he also got songs from people like Big Mama Thornton. You know, he got songs from black artists and he used it for himself. He didn't even sometimes he didn't even pay them for it. He never gave them credit. But
okay.
I want to throw that out there. But
okay. Kids Mac, I told James I appreciate him last in the Lions Den. He took a beating, boy.
Uh huh. Was it that bad? I mean, damn.
Yeah, man. You get beat up pretty bad. I was feeling bad for you at one point.
Well, that's what he said, because a lot of whites, from what I know, like when they get, you know, cornered, they like retreat. You know, so I gotta give him props for that.
James, a trooper.
I appreciate that. You know, I try, you know. I love black people, honestly. I got a lot of black friends. I really enjoy it.
I've heard that one before.
Look, James, we're gonna give you some knowledge. Never tell black people you have black friends.
Don't do that. Is that why
do
is
not,
that making that?
Don't say you got black friends. You got friends.
Is that like a white? Do a lot of white people do that and just look bad or what?
Okay.
White person
don't want to.
Tell me the backstory on that. Educate me.
They have okay. It's called the white people prove I'm not racist handbook. Number one, they say I have black friends. Number two, they say I got black people I work with, I eat with them, I do this with them, I do that. I mean, always trying to prove what they did with black people. Look, this is my black coworker. We're cool. See them on my phone and all this other stuff. You don't have to show us if you have a friend. They just black. It doesn't matter. They're your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them even tell you. Some women they tell you, I even used to sleep with black men. Like, what
oh
they got?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Well, tell me where I can find this handbook, dude, so I can make sure I'm up.
No, it's not a handbook. It's just like it don't matter from California to New York. We hear the same thing. I got black friends. Like, oh God.
Really, you got black friends?
I guess
huh?
I'm following.
That's like it's almost like somebody who is very anti-gay. And they don't want to be labeled as something. They'll be like, oh well, I have gay friends.
But it's true though. But listen, there's so much prejudice out there and stuff. And sometimes you gotta be like, you gotta kind of just like call it what it is, you know, like kind of say, hey, I'm not the enemy, because I feel, you know, a lot of white folks feel like,
well,
that black people are like, oh, is this a racist white dude? So sometimes they just want to get it out there, like, hey, you know, I know there's a stereotype out there among blacks that us white people are racist. And I just want to let you know that I'm not, and that we can, you know,
we don't feel you're racist because we said so many things to you that they would piss a racist white person off. So I don't think you're racist. You stood
good.
like Kids Mac say, you didn't retreat and you didn't get off the phone calling us N words. So you all right? I ain't got nothing.
I appreciate that.
There's one more
it's
thing
all the
I
black
to
people,
say.
And hold on. It's all the black people that was mad about this show. After you review this show, you going to eat crow.
You going to what now?
They're going to eat crow.
What does that mean?
Eat crow?
You don't know what eat crow means?
No.
Research it, Miss Gabriella. I'm not going to even tell you. Research what eating crow means.
So hey,
you can tell me
because
I'm white,
book.
Though, right?
Just a black handbook. No, you can't. No, I'm sorry. You can't.
Yeah, everybody say eating crow. We ain't got nothing to do with race.
Crow.
Research
oh,
okay.
it. Go
to Google and research it. That's my thing. I don't tell people to answer. I just tell them to research it.
Oh, my goodness.
Get your thing for yourself.
I'm going to be doing a lot of research. There's all kinds of stuff I'm going to be
That's
okay.
good.
I'm
going to
be researching the origins of twerking. I'm going to be researching eating crow, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, okay, I get it. I see what it means. Okay, I'm good. I just looked it up.
See?
Well, just go ahead and tell us. I'm sure a lot of the viewers are not wanting to look it up.
No, you got to do your homework.
I like
people
to think for themselves. I don't want a bunch of slaves following me.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
I'll do my homework.
All right.
There you go.
Well, kids, Mac, I'm going to have to go ahead and let another call on, man, because I got to wrap this up. I've got two more calls and you get in.
Okay. When's your next show?
Oh. My next show is probably going to be, I'm thinking maybe next Tuesday. And I'm going to do one about them black men wearing skirts.
Okay. I got a call for that one. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, make sure you go to my Spreadshirt store. I just made a shirt about that, too, about real men that wear skirts. Check it out.
Check it out.
The advice shows. That's spreadshirt.com.
All right.
Let's see here. We got this person. Wrong one.
Are white people really scared to come on the show?
No.
Well, a lot of white people. I invite anybody to come to my show, Jay. The white people step over here on this side. Yeah, listen to the video. But they're afraid to call in.
Maybe I was brave enough to do it.
Well, you another white guy that called in.
Y'all brave.
Eric Cole 314, you on the show.
You know, I was listening to the discussion. But, as I mentioned in the chat room, being prejudiced, practicing discrimination. And bigotry is nothing wrong with those, as long as you don't violate somebody's civil rights. And segregation is okay, too, so long as it's not state-sponsored. But I don't understand and you said yourself, talking to the host, that you don't care what whites say about you, and I really don't need it. I don't even know why come we get so upset on that. And James, I just wanted to tell you that whites do have this arrogance, and let me give you some example. Of course, y'all was making reference to entertainmentness, but let's look at things on a geopolitical scale. When you have African leaders in African countries take land that whites stole from black, all the white the world gets mad at that. The U.S., Britain, France, and that is a fact. I mean, if you just look at what's going on in the news today with Russia and Crimea, we all know about the Monroe Doctrine, but when other countries practice that, oh, it's wrong. So, yeah, you whites are, and Asians complain all the time about their roles when movies are made in Hollywood about an Asian. Whites play the role rather than getting an Asian to play the role. So, yes, those things do go on. They have been going on. I can't comment much on the music, but I can comment on a lot of other things. And, I mean, just history itself. Look at ancient history. Whites call Greek history as being classical, where it's just a child on the chronological history of mankind. African history is much, much older than Greek and much, much more classical because the Greeks came to Africa to learn. So I hear what you say, but whites have stole a lot of stuff, plagiarized, and created all sort of allegories around things that they try to place themselves in places where they just was not. And that's what sort of the gist was being discussed there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I hear where you're coming from. I mean, I understand about what you're saying. I mean, we've been talking about it all night, so.
Okay. Well, brother, I appreciate you calling. I'm going to get this one last call so we can wrap up the show. I know James, he got to go debrief himself and deprocess. He got to probably go talk to his wife after all this.
I've been going for.
Get this last call. Air code 678, you on the show.
Hey, how you doing? This is Classy. James, I'm going to try to help you connect the dots because, unfortunately.
Please, I need all the help I can get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's why I agree with you first. If we as black American people were more empowered, we wouldn't have to do all the yelling. We wouldn't have to do all the trying to convince you. Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what you think. If we were more empowered the way Caribbeans are, the way Africans are, they don't look for a white justification, which is your point, your earlier point. And if we did that more so, then we wouldn't need to go over the top. But with that said, many of us have to because we feel so empowered. Like Harvey Superboy was saying, we want you to feel our situation. Now, I'm going to go backtrack a couple of things. They're not really relevant, but I'm going to help out the conversation that y'all been going back and forth. When they talk to you about Elvis, common thread you can use is Timberlake. When you look at Timberlake, Timberlake was a country young boy singer. He's been country all his life up in Tennessee. And it wasn't until he found black music that he found he could make something happen. So what their point with Elvis was that, yes, you've been country all this time and you've been the heart of country, dressing like country, but the minute you found out that you could make money, you changed everything of who you are and became something else. So when you go look at Timberlake and all the videos of him as a little kid and how his mom raised him and how he was singing prior to getting in the R&B group, then you'll understand that point. But it's not to say that it's wrong or right. It's just to say that it did happen. And just like the sister was saying, black folks, unfortunately, because they're not in power and we don't stick together the way you guys do, Indians do, Asians do, Jews do, we feel like you got to acknowledge us. Sad thing is that if we as black folks would do more of the using our billions and millions of dollars to create like you guys do, then we would have less of this conversation. My last two points to get you to understand is that when you guys as white folks, you're coming from a system. So let me talk to you where you're from, Mississippi. If all of a sudden the Mississippi River starts at in New Orleans, so what if someone was to say all of a sudden, hey, it starts here, so we're going to now call it the New Orleans River. Several people in Mississippi are going to get offended because that's what they're used to. So that so that feeling that you're feeling right now, that's what it feels like to have something taken from you and not be acknowledged for it. That's what they were trying to get you to understand. The other point is, just like in Mississippi, you know and I know, my father's from Greenville, when you go to Mississippi, if you're an outsider, white, black, or whatever, and you're not a true Mississippian,
yeah, I know.
When you
start to get something
from Mississippi, no matter how educated you are, you're going to get treated totally different, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they meant when they were trying to get you to understand that a black person can be educated and have all these degrees, but compared to a white person, when that interviewer feels so much more at ease talking to a blue-eyed white guy who has nothing but a high school degree,
who looks like everyone else in their family.
Right. And she feels more uncomfortable speaking to somebody dark-skinned and, you know, it has nothing to do with him or her.
I've always thought that. I've always thought that we're tribal people, you know what I'm saying? But let me, because that's what I was wanting to ask the advice show the other day when he was talking about one of his friends couldn't get a job because, you know, she started getting more, interest once she changed her name. The thing is, do black people
not a friend. That was a news story.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, a news story. But do black people not do that too? Do black people not kind of look after their own or feel more comfortable amongst their own people as well? Or maybe
black
people don't do that?
No, especially black males. Black males are the pit bulls of the black community. Everybody wants the black male's protection, but they don't want to pet the black male and nurture the black male. That was said on the Oprah show about the Fruitvale movie. It is a very sad reality that we have, and this is the question I was going to ask you earlier, 60 minutes ago. But the question I was going to ask is, like, what I see in our black community, I grew up around Black Panthers, which is totally different. But you guys, Asians, Jews, you don't put women first the way we in our community does. And I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm saying that we as black males, we put women first to succeed before we'll put another black male or our son. Now, isn't that now you guys do somewhat similar of the opposite, not all of you, but most of you. You're very interested in putting your boys towards success. That isn't what we do in our community. We put our girls towards success, and we let our boys fend for themselves. Now, my question to you is, just as a white guy, even if you don't believe that's true, and just assuming that it's true just for a second, how does that make you look at the entire community if that were to be true?
Of the black community?
Yeah.
You're talking about the black community. I mean, you know, they can do what they want. I'm thinking maybe they should – I don't know. I mean, if you guys think that it's a problem – and then maybe you guys should start encouraging the young boys to go out and be successful, then maybe I would see it as you guys should acknowledge that and start encouraging the young males in your community to become successful. Because, you're sitting up here telling me right now that that's not really the case. It's more of what the females are pushed. So I'm thinking that that's something within the black community they should take the responsibility and say, you know what, we should start pushing the boys to become successful as well as the females equally, you know what I mean? And that's kind of how I would see it.
But you would agree that in your community, as you've seen it, Mississippi, you guys push boys towards success.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in Mississippi. I didn't live there my whole life. I moved out here into California when I was about 14 years old. So I've been
what
back
part
to
of California?
I live in L.A. right now.
Oh, okay, I'm from Oakland. Okay, so even in California, you understand that, you know, pushing the boys towards success is primal for
I would say it's getting to be the point about pretty much both boys and girls.
Okay,
I'll
roll with that. Well, hopefully, I helped you understand a little bit. I know people were arguing back and forth, but I want to try to get you to understand before the show ended that these things have relevance. So when you go mm-hmm. back to speak with whoever you speak with, there's a dynamic of us that says, hey, we are concerned about these issues, and it's not all about yelling. So
right. And I think with, like, if you guys want to be acknowledged, I don't know what the solution would be to that. I mean, because obviously I don't have any control over that. That's way above me, you know, to give somebody credit for something. Obviously, if I see Elvis doing something, I'm like, hey, that's Elvis. I'm like, I'm not thinking about the people behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying, with anyone, really. I mean, even if it's a favorite band, I'm not looking at the, you know, the people that are doing any of the legwork or whatever. So I don't know what the solution to that would be.
Well, the whole solution is on us. We as
yeah, that might be something you guys need to work out.
Yeah, we as black people, especially black males, need to really start sticking together. And I said that to Advice a long time ago when he was going through his issues with old boy. You know, we as black males got to stick together, and we got to stop this whole black male against black male nonsense. But
another thing I think that black people could do, you know, I know I've heard even the Vice show said that a lot of times black people kind of reject certain things like education because it's known to be like a white person thing. It ain't just a white person thing. I think if blacks would embrace other cultures, not just whites. I mean, I know there's a lot of tension between blacks and whites because of our history, but even how Asians do things or Jewish people or, you know, all these other different cultures, and they would start kind of like, you know, take more pride in education and be like, okay, you know, let's try to find out a resolution for all these issues on education. Then a lot of these issues could be solved over time. But obviously, you know, it's been however long, 50, 60 years since the Civil Rights Movement. I don't think in 100, 200 years it'll be nearly like it is now. I think that we're moving in the right direction, and I think we're still kind of, you know, just going through some growing pains. But I think the black culture, honestly, I think in 200 years you ain't going to see any black or white. It's probably going to be a mix. We're all going to probably look kind of like
pretty much.
You know, so, you know, culture's
changed.
Well,
I appreciate you listening, man. I just want you to get to try to understand what that Mississippi reference on what they meant by, you know, because I work in a female dominated industry, and I'm the only guy. And
sure.
I tell you, it's not equal at all. A blue-eyed white guy I spoke with who works in a higher situation with me don't even have half the knowledge I have, but I just laugh at it and move on.
Right.
I mean,
and that's all you can do, because, I mean, honestly,
day, he
like
didn't
a,
have
like
an idea what it was.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Honestly.
No, like I was saying, I understand, and you guys see, and it's more clear cut whenever it's black person versus white skin, blue eyed person. But I know the discrimination too, because I feel like I said earlier with more of the upper class type people, or people from a wealthier, affluent family. I feel that same feeling that you feel with somebody that might just be.
Before the show ends, let me make this other point, because I'm glad you mentioned that. When you get a chance, look up Ross Perot when he said he was against NAFTA, and he said, why don't you go give these jobs to the black people in the ghettos and the white guys in Kentucky rather than take it overseas? See, what happened is, respectfully, when Republicans went and did this a visa program with the Latin brothers over Mexico, and the Democrats did this NAFTA program over in India, now those Indian people are coming over to take your jobs. They're not working at McDonald's. They're not taking all the low-end jobs. They're going for white people jobs, and they're going for white people communities. And if you go Google France and England, they did this to France and England in the early 90s. And now you got people in England like you guys, white, who are complaining that they are being discriminated against because they've let all these demographics in, as opposed to embracing the black people that was already there and bonding with them. So it's become worse and worse, and it's
well,
kind of like
this Ross Perot speech. What was it called? The Ross Perot.
Ross Perot was going against. He was going against NAFTA. You can YouTube it. Just look up Ross Perot and NAFTA, and he was going against the Vice President Gore. And they was having this conversation. He was saying, why would you do that? Why would you not just give it to? Because if you notice, that's why we can't use the term made in America no more, because it's part of the NAFTA language that China, part of China's reason why they gave the loan to America, they can't use made in America anymore. And right after that, that's what the boom of Toyota and Honda came to be. And we sent all these things overseas for $5 just so we wouldn't pay black folks and rural white folks $2 extra.
Yeah.
And we were promised that it would create jobs. And actually,
yeah, no, I hear about it all
months.
The time, outsourcing, you know.
Right.
hear about it.
And so now all those people from India done came over here and their families, and they're the new black folks. They're coming over here with a culture and an agenda, and they're looking for your jobs. They're not looking for lower-class black jobs. They're looking for high-end white jobs.
I hear you. And we're just going to have to fight harder, you know. We're just going to have to work that much harder to get more and more
That's why all that division between black and white really don't help anything, because while you fighting between each other, them other groups are coming right in and snatching up your job.
Snatching up everybody.
Well, I think we just have to educate ourselves even more. That's why they say, you know, a master's degree is like the new bachelor's degree, and everyone always tells me that, you know, you might have to go and get a master's degree now just so you can get a good job. So, I mean, if that's what it's going to take, you know, I don't know
Well, beware, the next thing will be robots, because the unfortunate thing is – no, really, because the unfortunate thing is you can't keep making stuff made by robots to people who don't have jobs to buy it.
Right, right.
So let me say that again. You can't keep making stuff by robots to people who don't have jobs to buy. Why do you think – go drive down and look at these car lots. Some of these cars have been sitting there a year because there's nobody to buy them. People
but
would rather
they go
buy
the opposite of what you're saying? Wouldn't you want to make things less with robots so that people can and use people so that they can have the money to buy
you
the stuff they're making?
You have
right.
to. When you look at people who are actually successful countries, Sweden, Germany, or whatever, we call it socialism, but in actuality, they're killing it because they're making handmade
Norway
stuff.
Like one of the best I want to move to Europe.
Right. And I used to live in Europe. I used to live in Romania, England, and France. And it's totally different. So, you know, it's just like what you guys was talking earlier. And I'm sorry, Advice. I'm just trying to give them some information. And just like what you guys was talking earlier about just like you was talking earlier about the status of white and black here. Well, white folks in Europe don't think very afraid and scary the way white people do here. White people here are very afraid of stuff. You know, the little things get them very afraid. Those guys over there are warriors, and they're fighting a minute. They don't care whether you're black, blue. They really don't care. And they screwing everything. So it just doesn't matter. But when you come here, it's a fear mechanism that white folks has, and it's a powerless mechanism that we as black folks have. That's all I had to say, Advice. I know you got to wrap the show. God bless, man.
I appreciate
okay.
it, bro.
All right. Thanks for calling in, brother. Area code, what is it? 219?
Yes, hello?
Yes, you want to say something real quick before we wrap up the show, 219?
Yes, great to be on the show, bud. Just quick background, I'm 17 years old and I'm in high school, like an hour away from Chicago. And I just wanted to say real quick, like, I have some friends that I've recently learned, like, their parents, what it, like, are sort of racist, I guess you could say, because they've told them before that they don't want them dating, like, certain types of people, like my, I'm mostly Hispanic, and one of my Hispanic friends that happens to be a girl, her dad said that he didn't want her dating black girls, I mean black guys and stuff. And so I was wondering, have you ever encountered anything like that in which, like, you've been pressured by your peers or your parents to date?
You asking me or James?
Both of you.
James, you want
to
answer that?
What was the question? I couldn't really understand what you're saying. What was the question?
What I was trying to say is that, have you ever been, like, pressured by your peers or your family members to date a certain, like, specific type of group of people, like, to exclude black people, to exclude white people from your dating range?
Oh, for me, no, I've never experienced. I know people who have, but I haven't experienced that, no.
Well, let me see. In a lot of black families, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. you know, a lot of times they don't have an issue with interracial dating. A lot of times they have an issue more so if you get a white chick. A lot of times they'll give you, well, if you get a white girl, then policemen are going to be pulling you over and beating you down. And then they tell you about the stories that happened in your family where Klansmen and kill, you know, your family and everything. So they discourage you getting a white female. Now, you can get away sometime in the black community getting any other race, but just it's just something about the white female that is just a thing. With the women, not the dad. Your dad not going to say that to you too much, or your uncles or nothing like that. At least just from what I've seen from my experience or a lot of different men told me. Now, you're saying about, you know, what you said about Hispanic people? What you say about them?
Like, one of my friends, they said that her dad specifically told her that he doesn't want her being seen with a black guy, like dating a black guy.
And you know what's going to happen? She gonna get the blackest black guy in the world. You can't tell them females not to go get a certain group of men, because that's exactly what they go get. It's like you push it to them. It's like they get more curious when the moment you tell them that. So no, you know what I'm saying? So like I said, I don't know about my wife's a Latina or whatever, and you know I never had an issue. So.
No, just like that video I think you posted about that. What was that black guy's? I can't remember that black guy's name, but he got killed in Texas somewhere. He was with a white girl.
Oh, yeah, he in a messed up part of Texas though. You can't be walking around there with no white girl in East Texas.
I think a lot of black people in the South just need to move to like places like California and New York up north or something, man. Because I mean, I do hear some stories from.
You
can
stay in the South. You just need to stay in the bigger cities like Houston, Dallas, you know, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio. You know, or places,
stay,
you know.
Stay away
like
from those backwoods type places. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Them places with all them trees, it get dark at night. And, you know, like,
I
this
stay
one
away
guy
from them
told
being
me,
white. They'll be like, who's this, who's
well, no,
this white
not all,
who's
but
this homosexual
not all white
from California?
Not all white people over there is racist either, because, like, one black guy said that he had pulled over the side of the road, and the white guy pulled over and said, hey, you know where you at? You better hurry up and get off the side of the road. So they got Klan up here, you know, so.
Hey, look, man. Hey, look. But the thing is it applies to white people too, bro, because I worked for AT&T. I sold alarms door to door when I was younger. I went to Compton one time, and black people were like, white boy, what are you doing out here this late? Like, are you crazy? And I was just like, shit, I think so. I ended up quitting the job, but, I mean, I was pretty scared. I heard gunshots and everything, so. You know, I think white people could get profiled in the black neighborhood too, and maybe be targeted to, you know.
Well, a lot of times you see white people in the black neighborhood at night, you'd be thinking they the police.
Yeah.
Usually they're not that bold.
Yeah, but I was a young kid with a blue AT&T shirt. I don't know if they thought in a sign. I don't know if they thought I was the police. But I even have black people when they answer the door, like ask me like, "What are you doing here? Are you crazy?" But they would probably say that to anybody who was out at night walking around. So. I don't know if it was
because
I was white.
I don't know, man. But what that said, because I'm up here typing on Facebook and everything, trying to get these videos out all of a sudden. I appreciate everybody for joining the show. Ms. Gabrielle, you want to say anything if we wrap it up?
No, that was all. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Ms. Gabrielle, are you there? I don't see you. Thank everybody for joining the show. Thank you, James, for hanging in there and like I said, dealing with the lion's den. I mean, it was some intense conversation sometimes, but you held in there. You didn't run off. You know, I mean, I would like to say, go get you some Advil, get you a bill, whatever you got to do to relax.
I'm gonna need about a week of rest after this. I mean, I'll maybe go up for the massage, get a massage tomorrow or
something.
There you go.
You took some good verbal abuse.
Oh yeah, but hey, it's all good. It was entertaining. It kind of had my had my adrenaline going sometimes. So I enjoyed it. I hope I can come back sometime. And you know, I really appreciate you having me on. I appreciate all the callers and everything. I feel like, you know, hopefully I'm gonna go do some research and you know, I think
hey,
that's what it takes. Exactly. I think people just need to get together, blacks and whites, and instead of just talking amongst each other about white people do this and that, just let's talk to each other and see, you know, pull it out like what Malcolm X said, you know, pull it out all from under the rug and just lay it all on the table, not be scared about hurting each other's feelings, you know. So
that's right. Well,
I think that's what we did.
Like I said, thank you for joining me, and thank everybody on Ustream for joining me on the live show. Those of you who have missed the show, I'll be uploading it to YouTube maybe sometime tomorrow or so. So definitely check us out. I'll be letting my videos go here shortly or so. And see you guys next week.
Thank you.